You want to really do it? I'll give you my f***ing address. Better yet, Google my goddamn name, find it yourself, and show up unannounced. I'll be happy to f***ing greet you at my door. I'll be happy to find you in my bedroom in the middle of the night, you assholes.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Angela's cats are cute. So cute that you just want to eat them. But you can't eat cats. You can't eat cats, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, podcast listener. It's like Monday, and you just tweeted out, after mine, I'm getting lonely. So I'm calling to see if you've fired beer mug yet.
I can't remember. I was drunk most of the time.
And now,
this is disappointing again.
Our feature presentation.
You thought things would change.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Monday morning, and Bean is going to try and work today.
What?
I know. That's crazy, right?
It's not crazy. Come on. It's been, well, I guess it's been like 10 days.
Yeah.
Since surgery, right? How is everybody?
But at least the email that you sent out over the weekend doesn't say that you're feeling worse now than you were before.
Why are you feeling worse?
Here's the thing about that. And for folks who don't know, I had surgery on the 13th to have a kidney removed. I woke up in a bathtub full of ice in Las Vegas. It was the weirdest thing. I never even found the guys. But here's the thing, and I guess this is fairly common with surgery, is that you feel better a few days after the surgery. You go, hey, I pretty much am nailing this recovery. I'm on the road, you know, the path to wellness here. And then for some reason, you take a dip, and there's some sort of a letdown, and you start to get worse for quite a while, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I think I'm just coming out of the dip where I've been worse, though, I think.
Is it just, isn't that part of, doesn't that have to do with medication? Like when you're in a hospital, they give you medication. And when you go home,
you have to get off the medication. That's a good point.
Well, not right away, but I mean, they, you know, it's not the same.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's really what it is. It's easy to heal if you're just laying around, but once you then try to live a life, you know what I mean.
And Bean's life is like constant banging.
You know what I mean? No, there's no banging.
There's women all over this world that expect that, and
I will tell you in a little while how there may never be any more banging again. I will never take my penis for granted again.
No.
I can't wait.
That's all I care about.
It's unusable. At this point,
we thought it was before, so it's kind of a surprise.
Yeah, but we were always guessing before.
That's
before,
true.
I was just keeping it in a glass case and saving it for a special occasion. Now, I don't care how hot you are, I couldn't do anything about it. So we'll have to discuss.
Again, that's been true for a long time. Go ahead.
Speaking of hotness, by the way, please let me start with this story. Do you guys still do the wacky stories?
Sure.
To get the day going? Okay, I love this one so much. This is a story that's in the news. It's in the Daily Mail in Britain. Here's a 38-year-old woman who has been arrested and charged with trying to kill her boyfriend by suffocating him with her 38 double D breasts.
Look, if you're going to go, that would be high up on my list of ways to do it.
Tim Schmidt is an attorney, by the way, and obviously a weasel, because who goes to the police and says, my girlfriend tried to kill me with her enormous boobs? What kind of a lame-o is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. That's why he was there. And all of a sudden, this is a problem. And you know what? For all you know, she just tipped over and couldn't get back up.
Could be.
Well, let's see what the story says. Tim Schmidt, 30, says that his girlfriend, Franzina Hansen, tried to end his life because she was jealous of his career as a lawyer while she was struggling to find work. She denies the allegation, insists the pair was just taking part in a consensual sex game, but she has been charged with attempted murder with a weapon.
According with to the a weapon?
Yes. According to the Mail Online, here's the man's report. She was sitting on me naked. I was kissing her. Suddenly she grabbed my head and pushed between her breasts with all her force. I couldn't breathe. I must have turned blue. I couldn't tear myself free. I thought I was going to die.
Again, there's worse ways to go.
Right?
How flimsy is this guy?
Yeah, he's pretty weak.
If you can't get your girlfriend off of you, seriously.
By the way, you call those cheap implants boobs? Those aren't boobs. They're lies.
They're murder weapons.
He added, it is clear she wanted to kill me. She even admitted to me on the telephone. I asked her why she wanted to smother me to death with her breasts, and she told me I wanted your death to be as pleasurable as possible. Which does it again. That doesn't make any sense if you're trying to kill someone, right?
She's only thinking of him, Bean.
It's like killing with kindness. Killing with giant breasts. Sure.
Giant-sized cans.
By the way, in the interest of due diligence, I did scour the internet for more information on this story. And I will tell you that my favorite part is that all of the articles that I found on this story, the woman is never pictured.
But
they all use tremendous file footage of other women with huge boobs in the newspaper articles. It's almost like 38 double Ds, much like those shown in this photograph, were used in the incident. So anyway, I hope that the judge takes one look at this guy and says, get out of my court. Yeah.
You're pathetic. Seriously.
That's crazy.
And then, girlfriend, what's your phone number? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
That might prove embarrassing for both of us.
Speaking of death by double Ds.
Yes.
Yes.
We have several Miss Double D contestants coming in today.
Why, yes, we do.
What a surprise, Bean decided to come back today.
It is the most wonderful time of the year, in fact.
We have Kristen coming into the studio today, and we have Lux coming into the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to we're going to interview them, find out what their personality is like, find out what talent they're going to do, get a little preview of the talent, and then we'll go ahead and put that up online along with everything else so that you can vote at krock.com or kevinandbean.com for Miss Double December. And then Friday, we are going to be broadcasting live from the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton.
You want to see nips? You're going to have to give. No bills, no thrills.
That's my policy.
That's true. And that's a good policy. Bean, you did not hear the King of Mexico's Clipper song.
No, tell me.
To play that for you. I don't think there's any telling. I think you just need to hear it.
Okay.
He
can't rap, I know that.
That's true. And yet,
that's true every year.
And yet every song is a rap. So that's happening. Chris Hardwick with The Walking Dead, or The Talking Dead.
So this was the mid-season finale. When did that start?
One more? Yeah.
One more, yeah.
That started when they decided to break everything up.
Yeah.
Basically, and, you know, over the holidays, they don't play anything for a while, and it sucks, yeah.
So there's The Walking Dead, and then Chris hosts The Talking Dead on AMC, and then Mondays on K-Rock, we do The Talking Dead.
The Talking Walking Dead.
Oh, really? We're not Talking Walking Dead?
We are talking Walking Dead. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what we call it. Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw, I was talking to Dave in the other room, the best play of the weekend. And that's a tough call because there's a lot of games over the weekend. Sure, the sprinklers came on during a game. That happened. But I can't wait to ask him about which team was it where the quarterback ran into his own offensive lineman's ass.
That was Mark Sanchez for the Jets. But I think that was Thanksgiving. I think that was Thanksgiving Day that happened.
Well, that's all right. We haven't been on since then.
Yeah.
But good times.
Yeah, that's the most embarrassing play ever.
Ran into his own offensive lineman's ass, face first. And fumbled. And it wasn't touched by another player.
Wow.
It was sweet. It was really good. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Thanksgiving horror stories, which always, there's always something that goes wrong. And two people here have horrible, horrible stories about Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
One of them being. And we're going to talk about Bean's giant balls. So that's coming up as well, too.
How dare you.
Keep listening for your chance to win sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas as well. We do that at 9:10, 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Got a big 6 o'clock hour straight ahead coming up here on K-Rock, including our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Plus, what happens when you try to talk logically to the Westboro Baptist Church? I think you can pretty much imagine how that goes, right?
Yeah, poor things.
It's all on the way here on K-Rock. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman out for a couple of days. I think he's in Philadelphia. You're going to see his beloved Eagles lose tonight, probably, to the Panthers. He's going to be there at Monday Night Football.
Yeah, he's got field passes, B. So if you watch the game,
sweet.
I see Ralph standing there.
That's amazing.
That's fun. In the meantime, we'll fill in with the Showbiz Beat. Hollywood is so happy this morning. It's the highest box office grossing Thanksgiving weekend ever this past weekend.
Wow.
This is, there's a lot of great movies out this year. Some Christmases come around and you go, wow, there's not that much to see. You know, they put out a lot of movies at the end of the year. Sometimes none of them sound good. Aren't there like five things out right now that you want to go see?
Yes, there are.
It just seems like it's crazy right now. Twilight, of course, is the one none of us will see, but it was number one by a long shot at the box office over the five-day holiday weekend. $64 million. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2. Lisa, did you see it?
They haven't got my money yet, but they will.
The best James Bond movie ever, some people say, Skyfall, continues to do a huge box office, another $51.1 million over the holiday weekend. Then Lincoln, which is also surprisingly strong. I mean, this is a movie that I knew I wanted to see. I wasn't sure what the level of interest was in a movie about an, you know, a 19th century president trying to push legislation through Congress.
Yeah.
It's really, I saw it over the weekend. It's so well done. I mean, you could really see a movie like that getting bogged down in all of the politics and everything, but they really make it compelling. And Tommy Lee Jones is off the hook.
Yeah.
He's incredible.
Great. I got to tell you, though, I went to several movies, and every time Lincoln would come up, and I'd go, you know, I'm supposed to be interested in that, but I'm just not.
But just Daniel to Day-Lewis, see though. Daniel Day-Lewis do this is...
I hear he's great. I'm glad. I hope
after
he wins awards.
After you see all the Boom Boom movies, go see
I would see Skyfall again, is what I did instead.
Does this thought cross your mind as you look at the Lincoln poster? You go, Spielberg, kind of a hack. I don't know. Might not be good.
No, just, I don't know. You know me.
There's so many good actors in this, too. It's surprising how many people you
Joseph
recognize.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is in it.
Yeah. Right.
Rise of the Guardians came
out. I hear he gets shot. Is that true?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert on the Lincoln.
Sorry.
God, James Spader is great.
Sorry.
Wow, what a cast, yeah. Huh? Rise of the Guardians 3D, that was number four. That's the, is that the one where Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and everybody are? Okay.
Yeah.
Life of Pi was number five, getting rave reviews, by the way. That's the popular book that most people said would never be made into a movie because it was too complicated, but Ang Lee figured out a way to do it. That even that, by the way, that came in fifth place over the holiday weekend. Even that made over $30 million.
Wow.
This is some box office, kids. $288 million at the box office over this weekend. Then Wreck-It Ralph, number six. Red Dawn, the debut at number seven, which I guess has been sitting on the shelf for a couple of years.
Oh, you saw Red Dawn, but you saw Lincoln. Did you see the reviews?
You don't care. I wasn't the only one that was making the decision.
And
I was fine with it because it was either that or Twilight.
Right. And then when you walked out, were you still fine with it?
Well, I mean, it was okay.
Was it really?
Yeah. It was okay.
Okay.
This is a movie that they only released because the people in it became famous since the thing was shelved for being unwatchable, right? Because Chris Pine was in it and Liam Hemsworth was in it, and they said, oh, this movie's terrible. No one will ever see this. Oh, wait, those guys are famous now? Let's release it. Maybe we can get some money off of it. Well, it came in at number seven. I'm sure that'll be its only appearance in the top ten. Flight at number eight, Silver Linings Playbook, which also looks outstanding at number nine, and then Argo rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend.
Thank God Lindsay Lohan has got a good support staff, because she needs that more than anyone else, doesn't she? With her mom and her dad and all the crap that's been going on in her life. She has a true friend. His name is Charlie Sheen.
Oh, really? Charlie's stepping up?
Sources tell TMZ that the two became quite close while filming Scary Movie 5 last September. She talked to him and told him that she had some IRS trouble, and he quickly sent over a check for $100,000.
All right, I want to ask Harvey about this when we talk to him next hour. Charlie Sheen isn't giving away money. Not that he doesn't have it to give away, but he's not giving away money. He gets something in return, right?
And I'm not sure she knows what it is, but he's used to writing $100,000 checks to hot chicks.
Right.
Maybe he just got her confused with one of his ladies.
One of his porn stars. Oh, no, he's expecting there's going to be some payback at some point.
Man.
What is that deal? And by the way, imagine being so rich that somebody you barely know can say, yeah, I'm into the IRS for $100,000. He can just say, yeah, take it.
Well, he's got that kind of dough.
He
and
does.
And like we said, he's used to giving it to a chance.
That's incredible. A couple of sad celebrity deaths over the weekend. One, because of his age, Hector Macho Camacho, who, Kevin, I'm sure you remember from his great days as a boxer. He beat everybody, including Sugar Ray Leonard, 30-year career, WBC, WBO titles in the featherweight, lightweight, and light welterweight divisions. He's retired, of course, now. He and his friend were parked in front of a shopping center Wednesday morning. They were shot by two gunmen who'd pulled up next to them in the SUV. Police say 10 bags of cocaine were later found in the car. It's unknown whether he was dealing drugs or what. This was all down in Puerto Rico where he's from. But he was brain dead on life support. And then his mom ended up pulling the plug after his kids were able to come from the mainland to say goodbye to him. Macho was only 50. Mm. That's death number one. Number two, not a surprise. Here's a guy who has been, in my mind, dead four times previously and always fights back to life. And that is actor Larry Hagman. Remember, he had cancer and all sorts of stuff happened to him. He, of course, is the star of Dallas, which is a big hit on TNT right now, the cable reboot of the show that he was famous on from back in the 80s.
He's back on it?
Oh, yeah.
He was
one of the big stars. In fact, they've already filmed six of the 15 episodes for the new season, and now they're going to write his death into it. So we're going to get a chance to see the reaction to his death front of his television family on this, on this show when it airs later this season. But he's a guy who's been a you know, famous television actor since all the way back in the 1960s with I Dream of Jeannie. But a lot of people consider his J.R. Ewing to be the greatest villain in the history of television. And the finale of Dallas is still the second most watched TV show of all time.
Wow.
So big times for Larry Hagman. Kind of a surprise, though, even though, like I said, I knew he was older. And I knew he had, you know, had some health problems over the years. I was still kind of out of the blue. I had not heard that he was back at the hospital or anything, but we lost him as well this weekend.
As of last Friday, Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart still together. So we have, we have a bet running on that one. Us Weekly reports they were spotted catching a plane from London to New York last Friday morning and shared the news on Twitter. Apparently, they're still doing press for Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, of course they are.
Part two. So once that ends, my prediction is so does their relationship. But we'll see. We'll see.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Tina Turner, who has been a little bit off the radar recently. Until a few years ago, she was still a huge concert draw. 73 years old today. Best legs in rock and roll. Actress Kristen Bauer turns 46 today from True Blood. Peter Facinelli, speaking of the Twilight movies, he's also one of the stars of Nurse Jackie, turns 39 today. And singer Natasha Bedingfield is 31. And that's the Showbiz Beat.
Balls.
How dare you?
Balls.
It's a remix.
Balls. Balls.
Okay.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin Abijo. It is 8 minutes after six. That, of course, one of the bands playing the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas this week.
We're still doing that?
This week, by the way. Yeah, it's a week from Saturday.
Yeah.
This week, we are giving you tickets like we did last week at 9, 10, 12, 10, 3, 10, and 6, 10. So just keep listening for your chance to win. But this is for both nights. And the tickets are in the pit.
Dude.
And backstage passes.
Oh, dude. What?
Really?
So that's,
you're letting them backstage?
It's too much for this group, but that is apparently what we're doing. So your next chance to win is at 9:10.
I was not here when the announcement was rolled out last week, of course, but hell of a lineup both nights again this year. A lot of bands on there. I'm very excited about seeing. I want to thank all the people who have already reached out and responded to me via the email or the Kevin Bean Facebook page on the Twitter and everything, welcoming me back. I was out for 8 shows on the 13th. I donated a kidney, and I told you before I went in to give the kidney that I really thought that, you know, surgery, nobody looks forward to surgery. It's not going to be fun, but, you know, a couple weeks I'll be up and around and my life will pretty much go back to normal, and it will have been worth the sacrifice because my recipient, Scott, is doing fantastic, by the way. Heard from him over the weekend. He is feeling better than he has in years.
Wow.
He went out and played golf.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. He's not
a marathon.
He's not allowed to come back to work for a while because of potential infection, because his immune system is still real suppressed from being sick for so long. So he's not allowed to be around people. He can't go to the mall. He has to stay away from people. That's why he's not at work. He'll be well enough to come back soon, though.
When you say recipient.
Yes.
Code?
Well, what do you mean by that? What do you mean, code? Well, no, he's the recipient of my kidney. He's
okay,
the one who
right.
got the kidney. Yeah.
I'm just checking. I don't know how deep this relationship goes.
I just want to give you the update that Scott is doing great, and I am on the mend, obviously, by the fact that I'm here. But there have been some bumps along the way. I think I talked to you guys on the phone last week when I just got out of the hospital, and I guess I was a little bit surprised that I was mostly awake from the surgery, but my bowels were not.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And that was uncomfortable. Let me tell you.
It was Poop Watch 2012.
Yeah, it took a while to get past that, but that's all fine now. I mean, I'm happy to report. No problems there. Everything's back to normal.
Balls.
Then we get into that.
Balls.
So I go to the hospital for my final checkup last Monday. I go to see the surgeon, right? And he brings me in, he does some tests and takes some, you know, some blood and some urine and everything, inspects the, you know, the surgical site. And he says, hey, you're doing great. You're recovering fantastic. You're free to fly home. Thank you for your service. You know, have a happy life. And I walked out of there feeling like a million bucks. So that night, I'm getting ready for bed. And something's not right down there, you guys.
Is it feeling heavy? You feel a little heavier than normal?
Something is not right down there, you guys. And I go, what's happening here? And I take off my PJs, and I'm telling you that my genitals have swollen up, and I'm not joking, to 3 times their normal size.
Wow!
3 times their normal size. Picture everything you think you're thinking you're seeing and then triple it. And that's what it looked like. And I freaked the F out.
I can imagine. Like, did any doctor say, hey, by the way, one of the side effects might be?
No!
What?
How about a heads up that might happen?
How about a heads up on the...
is it something that does happen often, or?
Well, I've learned since that it is a side effect that happens in a small percentage of people. And I guess that it's not unlike other abdominal surgeries that you have, like people who go in for lipo, for instance. You know, they move that whole area around a little bit and things get displaced. And there's apparently a fair amount of fluid that is kind of moving around down there. But it doesn't pool. It's not like you can drain it or anything like that. It's just kind of spread out in the tissue. But it gets moved around your body. Now, it might end up in your stomach, and it just may puff out, and you might look pregnant, for instance, if you're a girl. Or in my case, it may just go all immediately to your junk and just blow up. And I'm telling you, guys, I looked like I had a balloon animal for a penis.
Balls. It's been a long time since that's worked, right?
Theoretically, it has been working fine.
I know, theoretically.
But I am telling you that it is freaky and heavy. And then, of course, it pulls down your incision, you know what I mean, in your abdomen where you have the cuts and stuff like that. So it's very painful.
Oh, I've had that weight issue for quite some time.
Did you have to fashion a sling?
Yes, I had to fashion a sling. Yes, I did. Because one of the things that you're supposed to do is you're supposed to, you know, just like with anything else, you're supposed to raise it so that the blood can flow the other direction. So you got to kind of put your legs up, and you've got to prop everything up, and there's weights and pulleys. I got right
ice
on the
pack.
Phone.
Did you put an ice pack on?
Yes, did it all.
Are you doing this show upside down right now?
I got right on the phone because I walked out of the bathroom and I said to my wife, I said, I may have to go to the emergency room. I mean, what's happening here? Because, you know, you don't know if that thing's going to explode or not. Like, is this currently still growing? Like what's happening?
It's like the first time he's ever had an erection.
He's going, what is
whoa,
this?
Whoa, I don't know how big this is going to get.
So they talked me down off the ledge and they said, no, you're totally going to be fine. It's just, it's going to take some time. Well,
balls.
It's still not back to normal, you guys. And every time I'm frantically, you know, texting like Dr. Mo saying, what can I do to reduce this? My wife is texting him right behind me saying, what can you do to not reduce this? Like, she's delighted with it. But it's freaky and it's scary. And you just, you know, you think you know what you've got. And then all of a sudden you got something completely different and you weren't expecting it. And it just wigs you out.
But you should be happy. And more importantly, your wife should be happy.
It doesn't work, guys.
Wait.
That's what I'm telling you, is it doesn't work.
Hold up now.
It's
hold just a minute. Hold up. Pump the brakes.
Hold it now. Hit it.
Hold on.
How can I describe that? It's very difficult to describe
this. It doesn't work.
It's already all swollen up, going off in all sorts of different directions, not the way you think.
Different directions?
Like, yeah, it's like a balloon animal.
What?
It's like a balloon animal.
I'm trying to picture this.
Okay. I got to figure out a way to get a picture out there.
No.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want to see that?
I want to see.
You could tweet it.
I could charge money to see this.
You could take it on the mall tour.
So can you?
Yes, I can pee.
You can pee.
I can pee. Yes, thank God.
So that's it?
That's it. That's all I can do. Yeah. Nothing else is happening.
Still.
It's weird.
It's a balloon animal.
It's a balloon animal.
What does it look like exactly? What animal would you say it looks like?
You know, snake. An elephant. Really, an elephant.
An elephant.
It's just that it can't swell up any more than it already has, is what I'm telling
right,
you.
Right, so you're ready 24/7.
But it's not. That's not the direction that it's going.
Oh. Not the direction that it's going.
That's
so it's
what
going
I'm saying.
Straight south?
Or is it hanging a left?
No, it's just, it's all just expanding outward, you know what I mean? It's
straight outward,
kind of like a big like a grapefruit.
Yeah,
like a grapefruit.
You have to wear sweats.
You see what I'm saying?
Like, you can't wear jeans or shorts.
Yeah, it's tight. It's tight. So, it's the weirdest side effect. No one ever told me this was coming.
Right, we need a picture.
We do need a picture.
A, we need a picture, and B, really, you need to have a conversation with your doctor and say, how about a little heads up, like we were saying before. If this is a 1% possibility, I want to know.
Yeah, it's not a surprise you ever want to find out on your own that you don't see coming, that's for sure.
Balls.
But the important thing is I'm alive and otherwise doing fine.
Other than that.
Yeah, well, if that doesn't go away, I think that being alive may not be your biggest goal.
Balls.
I have to have a picture.
You got to send a picture. Right. As little as I want to see that, it has to happen.
I know. I don't believe
with
me.
With a little
all
black,
I...
like a little black strip just across
just
that.
Just a tiny black strip.
That's all I kept thinking, too, is this is too awesome not to share. Mm-hmm. This is like, oh you God. Know, this is like a car accident is what it is. You have to see it to believe.
Maybe first take a picture of it covered a little. Uh-huh. You know, mm-hmm. sweats right, or whatever.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Okay.
Balls.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 23 minutes after 6 o'clock.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, live from the TMZ newsroom. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. Good morning.
Great to have you back on. I missed you last week when I was out. Let's talk about how Thanksgiving. I'm feeling great. Thank you, Harvey. I appreciate it very much.
Ask him about his balls.
How are your balls?
I'm a little swollen, Harvey. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about this Halle Berry drama. We're doing a phone topic later on today with people who had terrible Thanksgiving holiday weekends. Halle Berry has to be at the top of that list when she has a fist fight break out in her house. What happened, Harvey?
So, I knew this, by the way. I told my staff, it always happens on Thanksgiving. Always. It's like, remember Tiger Woods was Thanksgiving?
Sure.
It's just whenever trouble looms, it explodes on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it's true, and it's because you have to get together with your family, who most of the time you don't like.
That's right.
All right.
So, about 10 o'clock in the morning, Thanksgiving Day, Gabriel Aubrey shows up with Nala to do the handoff. He's in the motor court.
He's the ex of her?
He's the baby daddy.
Baby daddy, okay.
Yeah, and the ex, and she hates him, and he's pissed at her, and it was a whole thing with custody. So, don't you remember, she wanted to move to France, and he objected because...
Oh, right.
Anyway, so he's in the driveway, and Olivia Martinez, who is her fiancé, walks out and says, look, can't we move past this? At that point... Gabriel, from what witnesses are saying, just lunges at him and takes a swing at his face. Here's the problem. Do you know what Olivier was before he was an actor?
No.
He was a boxer.
Oh. Are his hands deadly weapons?
Yes.
Wrong guy to swing at?
Yeah, wrong guy to swing at. So he obviously, he ducks and he gets hit in the shoulder. And then Gabriel rushes him. Olivier cold cocks Gabriel and then pins him. And there were conflicting reports. People on Gabriel's side tell me that he was actually unconscious. But you should see his face. I mean, we put pictures up on the website. Mm. I mean, he was nailed. So Gabriel's taken by ambulance. Olivia makes a citizen's arrest. Gabriel's taken by ambulance to Cedars-Sinai, goes to the emergency room. Olivier hurts his hand in the whole thing and has a neck injury. He goes to Cedars-Sinai. They're at opposite ends of the emergency room.
All right. Good times. How's your face, a-hole?
Do you want me to keep going? Because there's more.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. It's great.
So so Gabriel then is taken to the police station. He's booked and released criminal battery. Halle gets an emergency restraining order against him from going near her, Olivier, or Nala, and they're probably going back to court today to try to extend the restraining order. So that was for Thanksgiving.
Oh, my God. Let me ask you this question, Harvey. If you're Halle Berry, are you secretly excited that two men are fighting over you, or do you think, why do I have such terrible taste in men that they can't have a civil interaction for 5 minutes on a goddamn holiday in front of my kid and not get into a fight?
Well, look, I mean... I kind of see it a different way. Look at her relationships. Do you remember David Justice?
Yeah.
Did not end well.
Yeah.
Drama follows her everywhere. Yeah. Where she invites drama.
Eric Benet, mm-hmm. Gabriel Aubrey. Now, I'm not saying it's all her fault, but she does... The drama seems to be.
Boy, that's a great point, Harvey. There has never been a relationship that we, the public, knows about where Halle Berry says, we're still the best of friends. It just didn't work out. I wish them well, and I'm moving on. It never ends like that.
They're always mortal enemies.
Wow, that is a fascinating take, Harvey. See, that's why you get paid the big bucks there in the TMZ newsroom.
Speaking of girls who drama follow them, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan and how she's finally got a good support group of people around her.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That she can walk the straight and narrow.
Well, how about that? Charlie Sheen's come to her rescue.
That's just what she needs. Right.
You say on the site that they worked together briefly for Scary Movie 5.
Yeah, they worked on Scary Movie 5.
They get to be chatting, and Lindsay says, hey, I'm in a little bit of tax trouble right now. And Charlie says, hey, I can hook a sister up. And he just whips out his checkbook and gives her $100,000.
No. She says, at first she refused it. And then Charlie hears about the fact that she's having continuing problems. So he sends it right to the business manager, $100,000.
Right.
Which cuts it almost in half, the tax debt.
And what is he expecting for that $100,000 for real here, Hardy?
I think it's just, you know, some people give to mending kids and some people give to Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, not him, though. Not Charlie Sheen. Let's be honest. Charlie Sheen is so used to sending giant checks to whores.
Why is it that all I can think of is Breaking Bad?
Exactly.
All right, all these stories and more at TMZ.com. Check your local listings for the wide variety of TMZ television shows. And by the way, when I was down there recovering from surgery, Harvey, I saw your little TMZ truck going all over Hollywood, taking the tour. It was packed every time I saw it. That looks like it's doing some pretty good business, too.
It's not a truck. It's a tricked-out van.
All right, it's a van. But you can get all the details on all of that.
I saw your horse and buggy, and it looked like it was really full.
Have a great week, Harvey. Thank you.
You guys will see.
Always lots of reasons to go to KROQ.com, especially this month, because online voting is now open for Miss Double December 2013. Don't forget, this Friday is the live show. We're going to be down at the Rock and Roll Kitchen, the Slide Bar in downtown Fullerton, all morning long on Friday. You can come on down and see the show live if you want to see the pageant. Watch Miss Double December 2013 be crowned. That's not a euphemism, by the way. Just Bring, of course, once again, we're doing the Toys for Tatas. The U.S. Marines will be down there. Just Bring a new unwrapped toy to donate as your admission. And you can vote online right now. We'll meet the first of the girls in person, Kevin. And coming up next hour, I think the beautiful Christy is going to be joining us in the studio. Looking forward to that.
Funny, you would make your return on today.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hope the camera works. All right. Let's talk about Russell Brand. Who we normally don't. I don't know if you've seen his TV show, Brand X. I watched 10 minutes of it.
I don't... It's on FX. Is that what you said? What channel?
Yes,
FX. I don't love his show, but I like Russell Brand very much. I think he is very smart and very funny in the right situation. I'm not sure this is the right situation most times.
I am sure this is not the right situation.
Yes, I would agree.
It is a terrible show.
It is.
But he interviewed the Westboro Baptist Church. This is the hate group that's parading around as Christians, and they boycott, you know, soldiers' funerals, and God hates the F word, the gay F word, and basically they're just a hate group. And Russell Brand had him on, and it was rather fascinating because you could tell he didn't take him seriously at all, and he wasn't going to get lured into a yelling match with them. But he was more interested in just kind of getting a good interview and kind of making things work and asking him a few questions. This is the beginning when they walked out with a sign for Russell Brand.
Please welcome my guests with love, Steve Drain and Timothy Phelps of the Westboro Baptist Church. It's a type of religion. Don't be mean. Don't be mean.
So people in his audience are already booing. Because everybody hates these people. I mean, this is one of those groups where everybody on any side of any, you know, situation.
Decency. Yeah, exactly.
Everybody hates it. And so they come out, and he begins to do the interview.
I want to bring you a sign, first of all.
This says Pimp Brand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
F-A-G-P-I-M-P-B-R-A-N-D.
Now, this, of course, is clearly offensive as an object. Pimp Brand, and I'm depicted here. That's not a very flattering photograph.
That's the face you made. You made the face.
I made the face. I paid the price. Right. Fair enough. That's true. And it says here that I'm a pimp.
Yes.
I'm English, of course, so being a pimp just means cigarette.
So he's trying to disarm them a little bit with humor, which, of course, they have no time for, because their only mission in life is to talk about how bad homosexuality is.
Right. For some reason, that's the one issue that they care about above all others, and nothing else matters.
So when the Lord Jesus Christ said to love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor as yourself by warning them when their sin has taken them to hell. And as a matter of fact, if you fail to warn your neighbor, you hate your neighbor in your heart. So by a Bible standard, we love you all. And I know that you can't believe that from your goofy Hallmark standard, but from a Bible standard, we love you.
And from a Bible standard, he hates you.
Right.
And you probably hate each other.
All right. Good times with that group.
But here's the thing, and I don't know, I don't want to step on the interview if Russell asks him that, but why are they so focused on the homosexuality that the Bible preaches against, which is in the Bible? I mean, it does say that God kills you if you're gay, right? But it also says he kills you.
It doesn't actually say God kills you if you're gay.
You know what I mean.
That's how they interpret it, yes.
You know what I mean. And it has just as strong a words for adultery. Why aren't they going around protesting all the millions of heterosexuals who are committing adultery, or the millions of people who are working on Sunday, which is blasphemy to work on the Sabbath? I mean, that's also in the Bible. Why is one one's so much more significant to them than all the other things that are preached against in the book.
I'm guessing that Fred, is that the guy's name, the head of the
Phelps, so,
yes,
yeah.
is gay.
Yeah.
Really?
Deep
that's
down,
where all this is coming from?
I would imagine.
Deep down, he is fighting it tooth and nail.
I would imagine. I mean, doesn't it seem like that's sort of how things go? The people who...
The most vehement.
Yell the loudest, basically, are trying to make up for something.
They're tapping in a bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. With their foot. Yeah. So Russell Brand wants to know why they showed up for his interview, if they think he's going to hell and he's a bad person.
Steve, Tim, do you mind if I do the... Like, I've got some questions here. Sure. Because, like, it'll help us for our interview. Why did you come here?
It's our duty.
For your mission.
It's our duty. It says,
to warn these people to stop sinning.
The Bible says this, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show the people their transgressions. How do you show people their transgressions without making it crystal clear what the manner of your sin is? God hates.
Yeah, so that's their message.
So they think we haven't heard them yet, is the thing.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Somebody's actually missed that message.
And by the way, I just wanted to mention this. They were protesting outside of Comic-Con a couple of years ago. And I went down there early to interview them or whatever, get pictures, whatever. And it's a sad, pathetic little group. I mean, they make it sound like they're really, like, strong.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're going to boycott a funeral, it's probably 30 people or something. It was like two people down there.
With signs.
And they had little homemade signs.
Yeah.
And they were surrounded by 5,000 nerds that were being blocked off from beating them to death by the police.
And by the way, when you can get beaten to death by a nerd,
yes.
you're a weak group.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just the family. I mean, it's a tiny, tiny little group. And I wonder sometimes why media like us, like Russell Brand Show, why we even engage them as if they're serious competition, you know, in the marketplace of ideas. Because there are so few of them and they're so radical that they're really not that far removed from a guy who's just standing in a dumpster talking to himself at this point.
No, that's a really good point.
But also, I think it's important to let people know that they're out here. I'm not worried about giving them press because nobody's going to join them.
Yeah.
And if they do, they get what they deserve. And by the way, they haven't made any of this up, Bean. They're preaching from the good book.
Yeah, and we just preach the Bible. We're not making this stuff up. The UK,
that's their catchphrase. I like it.
The UK.
Westbury Baptist Church. We're not making this stuff up. This is to be found also in Corinthians.
So then Russell Brand comes up with a good game for them, which is heaven or hell.
Oh.
Heaven or hell. He gives them a name.
Mm-hmm.
And then they say heaven or hell based on what they know about these people. And I wonder what most of their answers are going to be.
Now it's time for the Westboro Baptist Church Heaven or Hell game. Tell me whether these people are going to heaven or hell. One, Madonna.
Hell.
Oh. Tom Hanks.
Definitely Tom Hanks.
What for?
Come on.
What do you
He lives for himself, for God's sake.
Tom Hanks, you've been very selfish.
Well,
hell, Tom Hanks, hell for you.
Tom Hanks. Goes to hell less than Tom Hanks, by the way.
Right. Who's less self-centered than Tom Hanks?
He played that gay guy in a movie.
Oh,
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah, so,
and that probably taints everything else he's ever done.
Absolutely.
And finally, the name that Russell Brand wants to know.
Gandhi.
Hell.
Oh.
Wait. Why hell?
Because apparently everybody's going.
Is Mother Teresa going to hell?
Because probably. Gandhi looked so sexy in that sheet. That's why it makes me feel funny in my pants.
Gandhi.
Hell.
Oh. That song ended. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Nice job not panicking on that, by the way, Beer Mug. There was a time when Beer Mug would have set you on fire to get your attention. Now he's just like, another song ended.
He almost threw it away. I barely heard him.
That's very impressed. Our boy is growing up.
Hey,
welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We're going to meet one of our Miss Double D contestants next hour. Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Real quick, as we get into showbiz, how about this? It's one of the most anticipated movies of a year that is jam-packed full of great movies, The Hobbit,
Ooh,
An Unexpected Journey.
I'm so excited.
Can't wait.
How unbelievable were Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings movies, all three of them?
Awesome.
All fantastic.
Yeah.
And now The Hobbit and An Unexpected Journey. You get to see it on December the 11th at the AMC Century City 15. The movie is going to be in theaters on the 14th of December. If you want to go, call right now, 1-800-520-1067. We're not going to make you jump through hoops like Ralph does. Just call and be caller 20 and see The Hobbit before your friends do. 1-800-520-1067. Call K-Rock now.
The Discovery Network has pulled the plug on Dirty Jobs.
Really?
Oh, I like that show so much.
Yeah.
I like that show, right? Mike Rowe, we've had it many times.
Such a great guy.
Great guy. But apparently they're tired of the every animal poops. It's basically it's basically every episode.
Well, a show like that that has so many hundreds of episodes in the can, I wonder if the ratings are any different for new episodes versus old episodes, because they have so many and they're all so similar. At some point, maybe... It's like Cops. You don't really have to make new episodes because you can never tell whether you've seen it before.
It
just continues to go well, you know, when you put anything on the air. But I'm sad for Mike. He's a great host.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. But, yeah, he is a great host. He's a good guy.
Kevin, your girlfriend Kesha is in the news. Two stories of Kesha. Of course, she's been away for some time, but she's getting ready to come out with a new album. She's that crazy pop singer who thinks she's prettier than she is.
Yes.
So she always
way
is naked.
Prettier, yeah.
Two stories. One, Star Magazine has her walking around in Sydney, Australia, not performing, not doing a video, not making an appearance, just walking around sightseeing wearing a lion mask on her head. I don't know why she thinks that's a good idea.
I don't either, but it's not a bad idea. You know, maybe she should consider that full time.
She also, on the cover of her new album out later this month called Warrior, she is wearing a bra, a headpiece, earrings, and necklace that are all made entirely out of human teeth.
Yay! Oh, come on.
Yeah! That's hot!
Sent to her by her fans, Lisa, Kesha asked her fans to send human teeth to her and received more than 1,000 of them that she could use to make her costumes.
Some of those pulled just for the purpose.
Probably.
I suspect that might be true.
How scary is that?
Because who has teeth just hanging around popping in the mail?
Do you ever, I mean, do you have any of your own teeth?
No.
All the teeth you've lost over the years, you don't save them, right?
No.
Yeah,
the tooth fairy takes them.
That's fucked up right there.
Wow, that's crazy. Lady Gaga diehards apparently showed up at her home for Thanksgiving.
Was they invited?
She was in Lima, Peru Friday and revealed that there were 35, quote, little monsters in her garage that morning.
She might be allowing a little bit too much access to her fans. I know that she wants to be close to them and she considers them, you know, family.
Right.
But there may need to be some boundaries in that relationship.
She's not making a necklace out of teeth.
Right, no. That's true.
She's still ahead of Kesha. Or better than Kesha, I should say. Yeah.
Adam Levine back in the news. I don't get this guy. I know that he is a heartthrob. Thanks to The Voice. Thanks to his work in Maroon 5. Of course, he's also on The American Horror Story. But he just basically goes from one Victoria's Secret model to another. He has recently broken up with Anne Villastina, who is every bit as hot as she sounds.
Yeah.
And he moved right on to a new one from Namibia named Bahate Prinsloo. So basically he went from one supermodel to another supermodel.
That's his life.
And I guess it's like, you know, it's like bowling pins for him. You know, he knocked 10 down. There's 10 more that look just as good to stand up and replace them. It's just one right after another. Why would he ever go out with one of them more than a week? Why would
he
just move on?
No. He sure doesn't. He makes the rounds.
Photographers for the Daily Mail spotted him and his new girlfriend cruising around in a vintage Aston Martin over the weekend. That's what his life is like.
Yeah. Snooki is back, full force, according to Star Magazine. She's wearing a jacket with red leggings and yellow knee-high boots, and she's launching her new perfume.
Ooh, we can smell like Snooki.
No,
ooh.
No.
Isn't the entire perfume industry based on you think somebody looks hot and must be hot and probably smells hot?
Yes.
Yes.
She meets none of that criteria.
Oh, my God. A Snooki perfume.
This has to sell none, right? I mean, other than
I can't imagine.
A couple of people who are just curious.
For fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be a disaster.
Yeah. That's not a good fit right there.
Snooki perfume.
That is not a good fit. And real quick at the Showbiz Beat, if you're wondering at the box office over the weekend, a huge Thanksgiving holiday, more than $288 million spent at the box office. Hollywood has no room to complain. Twilight at the top of that list with $64 million over the 5 days. That's in its second weekend, by the way. Skyfall, James Bond movie, which what, Kevin, you've seen twice now?
I have not. I've seen that one twice, yes. I thought you were going to.
$51 million over the weekend. Lincoln came in at number three. Rise of the Guardians 3D debuted at number four. Life of Pi at number five. Then Wreck-It Ralph, Red Dawn, Flight, Silver Linings Playbook, which is getting rave reviews and a great cast. Dave, the King of Mexico, says that Robert De Niro is actually good again, which is great news.
Wait. A, Dave went, and B,
went to see that movie with Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence.
And yeah. B, we're taking his review?
He says his best movie of the year, by the way, Silver Linings Playbook. And I've heard wonderful things about it, too.
I have, too. And we should source Dave. Making sure we are.
Argo rounds out your top 10 with another $5 million at the box office this weekend.
Birthday singer Tina Turner is 73 years old. Actress Kristen Bauer from True Blood and Secret Life of American Teenager is 46. Actor Peter Facinelli from the Twilight movies and Nurse Jackie is 39. And singer Natasha Bedingfield is 31 years old, and that is the showbiz.
That band right there, Linkin Park, is playing night number one of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. That's going to be on Saturday night, December 9th. They're on the bill with Rise Against and Bush and Garbage and so many others. And, of course, the following night, Sunday the 9th, you got your Killers, your Jack White, your Fun, your Neon Trees. Oh, what a lineup. Hey, yeah. We're giving away tickets for both nights, pit tickets, backstage passes. Many times throughout the day today, including this morning on the Kevin Bean Show at 9:10 a.m. Then again, just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6. You can win all those details at KRock.com.
Let's talk about Thanksgiving. A lot of times things go south when you get together with your family.
The people that you get along with so well that you never see them all year.
Family. You try to avoid your family pretty much most of the year, and then Thanksgiving says, nope, you're not going to avoid them anymore. We're going to put you all in a room. We're going to serve a lot of alcohol, and we're just going to watch what happens.
A lot of stress, trying to get food together.
Yep.
Why do people do that, by the way?
I don't know.
Why don't people just say, I don't get along with my family. I don't need the stress in my life. I'm certainly capable of preparing my own meal. I don't need to go to somebody else's house for that.
Maybe because they're a little bigger people than you, Bean. Maybe the family is more important than the individual.
But if the family was more important, why would you only be getting together with them for the holidays?
Well, maybe they just don't live that close.
We want to take your telephone calls as we do the Monday after every Thanksgiving here on the Kevin and Bean Show to hear about some hilarious disasters. I've always enjoyed doing this because grandma always has a heart attack or daddy always touches you or something always happens that you weren't expecting.
It's always a fight.
We want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. The turkey caught fire. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. Last hour, we were talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, was talking about Halle Berry, Oscar-winning beautiful actress Halle Berry, who had her boyfriend there at the house when her baby daddy came over to drop off the kid for the holiday, and those two ended up getting into a fight that was so severe that they both ended up in the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai Hospital.
Same emergency room. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's how her Thanksgiving went, is one guy is in the hospital because of his hand, the other guy is in the hospital because of his face. That's
That's hot.
Halle Berry, if you're listening right now, you could have the worst Thanksgiving. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Tell us how that went down. Here's an argument over an Annapolis, Maryland Thanksgiving dinner. Here's a 27-year-old woman who stabbed her brother in the neck with a serving fork.
Oh, all right, man.
What says Thanksgiving more than a fork in the neck?
Police say the stabbing took place in the 1100 block of Madison Street. Shanika Alsop is her name. She's 27 years old. She and her brother had been arguing. I wish it said what they were arguing about. And the spat escalated. She used the fork as a weapon, stabbing Detante Wallace in the neck. An officer who responded found Wallace in the parking lot of the apartment building, clutching his neck and wearing a bloodied white T-shirt, the report shows.
Nice.
The officer found two bleeding wounds in the base of Wallace's neck, and another officer found bloodstains inside a nearby apartment. Doesn't say whether they ate first or not.
That's the important part of the story to you?
Well, I'm just saying,
you got all that trouble. You should get dinner, right?
At least you should get dinner out of it before you get stabbed and end up in the emergency room and somebody gets arrested. But this isn't what people were counting on for Thanksgiving.
Remember Omar's story? Omar's sick today, so I'll tell it quickly.
He's
having problems with his mom. Finally, his mom said, look, let's spend Thanksgiving night together. And he said, all right, I'll clear my schedule. What time? 6 o'clock. Okay, fine. That's great. He's sitting there waiting, waiting, waiting. No mom, no mom. It's just he and his mom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just him. And his mom's supposed to show up and doesn't. And then he finally calls and he hears thumping music in the background. Mom's clearly at a party. And he says, hey, mom, we were going to have Thanksgiving. And she's
remember
like,
me?
Oh, sorry about that.
I forgot. She said I forgot.
And then she just let it hang there. She didn't say, oh, I'll be right home.
Yeah.
She's just like, I'm already here.
That's what she said. I'm already here.
I'm already at the party.
Where did he go for dinner?
It was Jack in the Box.
Omar went to Jack in the Box and rented a movie for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
this is Thanksgiving.
So sad.
All right, so we've teed it up. Now we want you to hit it. 1-800-520-1067. Was there a fire? Was there a heart attack? Was there a fight? We want to hear from you. How was your Thanksgiving weekend? Let's start with Tori. Tori is on line one to kind of get us going, and then we'll take your calls to find out what went wrong over the holiday weekend, because you know something did.
This is the greatest story. Maybe ever. This is why these phone-in topics are so good. Hi, Tori.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Thank you. Whose family were you at? Yours or your boyfriend's?
It was my now ex-boyfriend. It wasn't this year. It was last year.
Last year, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we were all sitting down to dinner, and I was getting ready. I was, like, cooking a pie or something. I don't know. And I go to walk around the table, and my ex-boyfriend's grandfather firmly grabs my butt in front of, like, 20 people.
Your ex-boyfriend's grandfather.
Was he like senile?
He's what?
He's like 85 years old.
85. Getting a handful of ass.
He wasn't even trying to do it on the down low and kind of get away with something. He did it in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. And the best part was that after he turned to my ex and goes, now I see why you like her so much.
Oh, my God.
In front of the entire family.
Now, let me ask you guys this, and particularly you, Tori. Look, it's uncool, and he shouldn't do it. But is there an age at which you're old enough you can get away with something like that without repercussions?
I think maybe he thought there was.
Mm-hmm.
I had this conversation with a couple people because I've told this story, like, multiple times at this point. Like, people were like, I hope I get to an age where, like, I can do whatever I want and no one will tell me that it's not okay. I feel like 85 is kind of hitting that mark.
It is.
He's just happy to be alive.
Were you able to just ignore it and move on with Thanksgiving, or did it stop your fun?
I thought it was hilarious. His mother did not think it was hilarious. Half the dinner was, like, horrified.
What did you say to Grandpa? Did you slap his hand, or did you just make a joke about it, or were you really upset, or what happened?
No, I wasn't upset. I laughed. I actually said thank you. I'm that kind of a person, but it was like, it's the story that gets told now.
You are very cool. I love chicks with low self-esteem. Thank you, Tori.
You're very cool, and you have a great butt.
Just look at that butt. That is exactly. A tight butt.
That's what Grandpa said.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. What happened to you over Thanksgiving weekend? We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Let's talk about the holiday weekend just passed.
Hey, who's going to get the Thanksgiving dump trophy this year?
You are!
Dad's going to get it!
Who else?
Besides all the poop comedy, there's a lot of things that can go wrong at Thanksgiving with the family getting together, and we're taking your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. Are you like Halle Berry, where you ended up with your ex-boyfriend and your current boyfriend both in the emergency room after getting into a fist fight in front of your kid? Did that happen? Or are you like David, who is joining us on line 2 at 1-800-520-1067, who ended up in the emergency room on Thanksgiving? Hi, David.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. How about you?
I could be better.
Now, was this year?
Yes, it was Thursday night.
What happened?
Okay, I was at my girlfriend's parents' house finishing up the night. She's been good. Football went good and everything. Went to say bye to the big macaw bird that they have. And then the bird latched on to my bottom lip and bit it in half. I spent the entire night bleeding my guts out. I actually did not go to the emergency room. My friend's an EMT. He super glued it.
Oh my God.
That's super glued my bottom lip. I did not want to spend 5 hours waiting, bleeding, or anything. So,
David, you need to come up with a better story for what happened to you, though, from now on. Like,
I'll try my best or whatever. I'll try to make something next year.
No, I'm saying if somebody asks you today what happened to your lip, it can't be I got bit by a bird. That's lame.
I'll take some excuses if you got anything better than that.
Has the bird ever done anything like that before?
I got it through her mom's lip, but not like mine, not in half. So.
Oh, dude, that's rough. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate
that. That's fine. You guys have a good one. Thank you.
You too. Yeah, 49ers, right? Let's go to, they ended up beating the Saints, right? Let's go to Josh, line one. Josh, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanksgiving disasters. What happened?
Okay, so every year we usually have a big get together, and I've become known to make the best turkeys in my whole family. So this year we have a bigger get together than normal, and I make two birds for the occasion. And, you know, big family, it's not going to be a lot left. That night when everybody was leaving and people were taking home their leftovers, two of my cousins got in a fist fight over who would get the leftover turkey.
In an actual fist fight.
Yeah, just, it was a crazy bare knuckle brawl, and one of my cousins got his nose broken. The other guy just got a fat lip, but what made it the most awesome night ever is my grandmother comes in right in the middle of the fight, and beats the crap out of both of them with her cane. Mind you, this is a 78-year-old woman.
Awesome.
Beating the crap out of 2 6-foot-tall grown men.
That's fantastic.
So, what? They don't get turkey, and she takes it home.
I know this isn't the point of the story, but what's the secret to your turkey? Are you a deep fryer, or what do you do?
Actually, I bake it, but what I do is the night before, I make like this honey herb glaze that I just completely slather the turkeys in and let them sit overnight with it. So
nice.
When I cook them, they wind up being really, really juicy.
Oh, and, God, I'm bored already.
Why would Josh ask you that question?
Josh is talking about his secret sauce,
this
Kevin. How could you not want to hear about
the
that?
The chew. Why don't you just save it for that?
Josh, thank you very much for the call. Let me close with this email from Kevin and Bean listener John, by the way. This is fantastic. I wish we had him on the phone. On Thanksgiving night, my mom had a psychological, shall we call it, an event. We ended up having to put her on a 72-hour hold. Doctors found cocaine and PCP in her blood.
Wait, none of us...
This is, well, we're getting to that.
Oh.
We had no idea she was ever doing drugs. She is a 68-year-old retiree. This was all news to us. It happened before dinner on Thanksgiving.
Wow.
She goes into a psychological event. They call the doctor. They take her away and put her on her hold, and she has all these drugs in her system. How's that for a happy Thanksgiving to the family?
And then everybody sat down at the table and went, all right, so that happened.
Right.
I'm looking for the stash.
Pass the yams. Yeah, no kidding. She's probably got some.
Oh, yeah. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Double D 2013. We're about to meet contestant number one, vying to wear the crown.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Giant size can.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Ooh, I love boobies.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
We have a winner. Let's stop the voting.
Kristen.
Thank you for your votes. No longer needed.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good. How are you this morning?
Can you hear us okay? Everything all right?
Yes.
Move a little bit closer to the mic. Not that you need to. It's just a good visual.
All right. I crawled out of a sick bed to be here to meet you, Kristen. I just want you to know I am not medically cleared to go back to work right now, but I saw your picture at KROQ.com. You are one of the 10 finalists for Miss Double December 2013, and I had to come in and meet you. So welcome to the show. How you doing?
Thank you. Good. I'm so excited to be here. I'm excited for the pageant.
Yes, the pageant is going to be Friday, of course. Once again, we're going to be down there like we do at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. If you want to join us in person, please bring down a new unwrapped toy. It's our Toys for Tatas. Let's learn a little bit about you, Kristen. First of all, how old are you? What part of town are you in?
I'm 25 years old. I'm from Chino Hills, California.
Mm-hmm. And it says you're a small business owner. You already run your own business at 25. That's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, I run a mobile airbrush tanning business.
So you go to people's houses, they strip, and then you tan them.
They strip, and I spray them down.
Do you, like, make abs and stuff for
them?
That's
what I was saying over the holiday.
Yeah. It's more than what you would get at Mystic Tan. You can kind of sculpt them a little bit.
Exactly.
Sweet.
I can.
Bean, she could give you a body.
Finally. How did you get into this line of work? That's fascinating to me.
I worked at spray tans before. I mean, spray... tanning salons, and a friend of mine got melanoma, so I started doing the spray tanning instead of tanning in the tanning beds.
I gotcha. Okay.
Do you have other people that don't understand it? I have a friend one time who was going to Hawaii, and got the spray tan because she wanted to not get burned.
Oh, don't. Yeah.
Like, she actually thought, like, maybe.
That would protect her from the sun.
Like, maybe she already get a head start on the sun.
She must have just fried.
Just dumb.
In Kevin's defense, he knows a lot of really dumb shit. Tell me about you and K-Rock. You are a listener, had heard about the pageant before. Or is this all new to you?
Yes, I'm a K-Rock listener. I have been for years. And I heard about the pageant. And actually, friends entered me into the pageant.
Okay.
What made you not think to do it?
Did you want to do it?
Well, I wanted to, but they just kind of gave me the push in the right direction. Mm-hmm. We both filled out the application, and they just hit submit.
If you wrote your autobiography, what would the title be? And you put, "It all started when my mom rubbed whiskey on my gums."
She says that's illegal now.
Wait.
She might be right.
She didn't say that it was a bad idea. She just said it's illegal now?
All right, good. Oh, what's that going to hurt? Look, there are millions of kids out there who were shut up by their parents with a little bit of alcohol. Let's face it.
That's true.
That's how they used to do it.
If you got to have one superpower, what would it be and why? X-ray vision. You have to see the goods before you take them home.
I totally agree. 100%.
Yep. Sure. Why waste your time with a guy who's just going to be disappointing later? Sure, why not?
Bean, tell her what she would see if she had X-ray vision for with you.
The largest testicles in the world. If you were a porn star, Kristen, what would your made-up stage name be?
Marilyn Manho.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have a winner.
Yep.
Come on.
Pretty great.
Why is Vivid Entertainment not on the phone with you yet? Let me see. Hey, I guess we don't have a question like this on the website, but tell us about your boobs. Are they new, old, or natural?
Actually, this week they are 1 year old.
Oh, that's their birthday.
Happy birthday to them.
And what size were you before the surgery? What are you now?
I was a B before the surgery. And now I'm a proud double D.
There you go.
Nice. And what's that been like? People always wonder, you know, a lot of girls out there, they think about the surgery, but they never do it. Did it change your life to get the breast implants?
Changed my life completely. I wish I would have done it way earlier.
Really? In what way?
My clothes fit better. I get lots more attention.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I can see that.
I'm a little bit concerned. I love everything about you so far, Chris, and I'm a little bit concerned about the talent that you're going to be performing. Now, we ask all the girls to come up with something that they can do in front of the crowd. Now, bear in mind, there's going to be thousands of people. You're going to be on stage. It's going to be Friday morning. You're vying for Miss Double D, and you're going to do what?
I'm going to recite a poem that I've written.
Poetry.
Yes.
All right.
Because that's what the Kevin Bean listeners love.
Not usually a crowd pleaser, but let's hear what you got. Can you do it for us now?
Yeah, I can. Okay. Are you guys ready?
Ladies, do we need any kind of music or anything? Or what would you... Do you need any kind of background or just...
No, I've got acapella? It.
Okay, all right.
Okay. A year ago, I had much smaller tips. You know, because I can't say the other word.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tough to get guys to play with my bits. I went to a man to fix the issue. No longer had to stuff my bra with tissue. The doc told me I'd get lots of attention. There's been so many losers. Here's a few I can mention. The rebound guy I met after my ex. How could you tell? All I wanted was sex. Now I'm on K-Rock to be Miss Double December. I think back to that doc, and I have to remember. A small chest is just something I don't miss. It's easier now to get an Australian kiss. Kevin, Bean, Ralph, and Lisa May, before everyone votes, I have to say, I'm fun, energetic, full of spunk, and pretty. I'd have given Scott Mason more than a kidney. Vote for Kristen.
Sorry, there's more.
Vote for Kristen for Miss Double D, the greatest gift for my boob anniversary.
There you go.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Well done.
Nicely done.
By the way,
Bean down in one sentence.
Scott Mason is so depressed right now. He's listening. He's like, why did I take my stupid kidney from Bean? All right, Kristen, so you were up at krock.com. I'm sure you have alerted all of your friends and family to vote for you. By the way, what does the family think about you running for Miss Double D? Are they supportive?
Oh, totally supportive.
Because not all dads are crazy about their daughters being Miss Double D. I have to be honest.
They're very supportive.
All right. If you like what you've heard from Kristen, you can go to krock.com right now or kevinandbean.com and you can cast your vote. Kevin, I was out for some of the fancy schmancy rules last week when we announced it, but people can vote as much as they want. Right?
I think once a day.
Once a day.
Okay. I believe so, yeah.
So if Kristen is your choice, go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com and cast your vote and be sure to come out and see her and all the girls live at the Slide Bar in Fullerton this Friday morning as we will crown Miss Double December. And for those who don't know, here's what you get. You get to go to both Nights of Acoustic Christmas. You get to go to the Weenie Roast next year. You get to go to Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, all of our live events, singles parties, the whole deal. It really is a fantastic prize. Kristen, so great to meet you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks. Nice meeting you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Coming up just after an hour from now, we're going to talk to Chris Hardwick. He's the host of The Talking Dead about The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. Can't wait for that. And we've got another Miss Double December contestant coming in. We have Lux. We have Andrew Siciliano coming in as well, talking about the NFL.
I think Chris Hardwick's like in about 10 minutes or so. We'll talk to him about that. Another great episode last night. Only one more before the break.
I know, that kills me. They said the fall season finale.
Yes.
Come on.
All of our shows are going away for the holidays. Yeah. I noticed that with Boardwalk
Empire. But how long is it? Is it going to be come back in January? Is it going to be like March?
Let's find out. We'll find out with Chris. Hey, another look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman is out. He actually, you can look for him on the TV tonight. Kevin told us earlier that Ralph has on-the-field passes for his beloved Philadelphia Eagles playing against the Carolina Panthers tonight on Monday Night Football. So Ralph extended his Thanksgiving holiday a little bit. He's in Philadelphia to see the team. So we might even see him on the TV if we look closely.
Depending on how the game goes, you could see him in the corner crying in a fetal position.
The problem is Ralph is easy to spot in L.A. because of the ridiculous leather jacket in the 80s hair. In Philadelphia, there's going to be 40,000 guys wearing that same outfit. So it's going to be a little bit tougher, a little bit tougher for us to spot him. Chris Brown is all over the news in the Showbiz Report today. First of all, you know that he and Rihanna are back together, right? You
pick
that. You get that, right?
Yes.
TMZ.com showed them together hitting up a German nightclub after a Rihanna concert last Thursday night. Rihanna has even tweeted a photo over the weekend of Chris Brown laying shirtless on her bed. Of course, they wrote a song together, performed a song together on Rihanna's new album that came out. So they are back together, which just gives me the heebie-jeebies all around.
Yeah.
Chris is also in the news because he got into a little bit of a Twitter war. This happens all the time with celebrities now, where somehow they just end up getting into a fight with somebody who is critical of them. Chris has actually deleted his Twitter account again after he had a nasty exchange with a comedy writer. I don't know if you guys follow her, but her name is Jenny Johnson, and she is one of the funniest people on Twitter. She is hilarious. Chris Brown had tweeted, "I look old as F. I'm only 23. And then she responded to his tweet, "I know, being a worthless piece of ish can really age a person." So that's how the whole thing began. But Jenny Johnson is, again, she's very, very funny. She's a comedy writer. And she has just been on Chris Brown ever since the incident back in February 2009. She's just one of those people who has never let it go.
Good for her.
Which I think is great. There's people out there doing this, right? I'm not saying that people aren't capable of improving their lives, changing, moving on. Chris Brown doesn't seem to be like that guy. He never, to me, seemed like he had a shred of, "I understand what I did, and I understand why it was wrong, and I'm going to work really hard to make sure," and blah, blah, blah. He just seems like a dick.
When he made his apology, it just felt like, "Oh, please, you expect me to believe that?"
Right. So Chris Brown responds to Jenny Johnson, tweeting vulgar insults, called her a hoe, suggested she perform oral sex on him. I think at one point he said he wanted to poop in her eyes. I mean, it just got ridiculous. She continued to write back, correcting his spelling.
Wait, are you sure that wasn't from Omar?
No, I think that was actually Chris Brown. She's writing back, correcting his spelling, by the way, and tweeting out links about the arrest and on and on and on. So finally, Chris Brown had enough. He signed off. He said to Team Breezy, which I guess is what he calls his fans, "Know that I'm not upset. I just felt like entertaining the ignorance. These bitches crazy. Further prove my point of how immature society is." And then he deleted his Twitter account.
This isn't the first time he's done that. He's teaching us about how insecure society is?
Mm-hmm.
How immature society is. Yes, exactly. No, yeah, and apparently these bitches crazy. So I just think it's great that somebody is holding his feet to the fire.
That is great.
And he still wins, I guess.
Yeah, he does for now. We talked about this last hour, but I think it's worth mentioning again. Kesha, with the dollar sign, kind of losing her mind a little bit. I don't know if you saw the cover of new album, Warrior, but the earrings and the headpiece and the bra are made entirely out of human teeth.
Okay.
She asked her fans, "Hey, do you have any teeth laying around?" Now, I don't know who does, but she got over 1,000 teeth. And so she made a bra out of it.
That is nuts. Wouldn't that creep you out to have somebody's teeth hanging
all over you?
Gross.
Yeah, but not for as big a look at me as she is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically her whole shtick is, wow, I am crazy.
Is she trying to steal that from Lady Gaga?
Probably.
Basically?
I think so. I think Gaga has upped the ante, and Kesha says, God, what do you have to do now to get noticed?
I mean, human teeth?
A teeth bra.
That lady's over there wearing a meat hat. What do I have to do to get...
That can't possibly be comfortable.
No. That is weird. And you're absolutely right. Who has teeth lying around?
I know.
That's what's weird about this. Couple of celebrity obituaries to mention from over the Thanksgiving weekend. If you missed it, sad news. Both accounts. Puerto Rican boxing legend Hector Macho Camacho died. You know, he'd been retired for some time and had been out of the limelight living down in Puerto Rico. I don't know exactly what he was up to, but it does not sound like good things. He and a friend were parked in front of a shopping center Wednesday morning. They were shot by two gunmen who pulled up next to them in an SUV. 10 bags of cocaine were later found in his car. So I don't know whether he was dealing drugs or what the deal was, but he was shot, was instantly brain dead. His mom ended up pulling him off of life support over the weekend. He was an all-time boxing great, though, held a number of titles in a number of different weight classes. Hector Macho Camacho was 50. Larry Hagman, I guess not a surprise. He's had a lot of health problems, including successfully battling cancer over the years, but he was the star of Dallas, which is one of the biggest shows of the 1980s. And had been doing really well in the reboot on TNT. In fact, he was in the middle of filming the second season of that when he died. So wow. They're going to write that into the second season. And he had 6 episodes down of the 15 episodes for the season. So they're just going to write it into the storyline. But Larry Hagman has been a comedy television star long before that with I Dream a Genie. Had a long, long successful career. Many people consider his J.R. Ewing from the Dallas show to be the best TV villain of all time. He also died over the weekend as well.
It was before Snooki. Celebrities born on this day. Tina Turner, 73 years old.
She still looks great.
For 73, yes, she does. Kristen Bauer is an actress from True Blood, The Secret Life of the American Teenager, 46. Peter Facinelli from Twilight, and Nurse Jackie is 39, and singer Natasha Bedingfield is 31. We will take a break, and we will come back and talk all things Walking Dead next.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network joins us in minutes here on the World Famous K-Rock right now, though. You know, Sunday nights, you got your Walking Dead over there on AMC. And then right after that, our friend Chris Hardwick hosts The Talking Dead, immediately following The Walking Dead on AMC. And then Monday morning, we talk to Chris Hardwick as we talk The Talking Dead about The Walking Dead here on K-Rock. Hi, Chris. Good morning.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
Talking the Walking Dead.
Exactly. Oh, first of all, great show last night. Not only The Walking Dead, but you were Talking Dead. Who knew that Yvette Nicole Brown, who we love so much as Shirley over there in Community, was such a diehard Walking Dead fan, right?
Well, I knew because we had a few conversations over the past several months, and, you know, she had said, I've got to come on Talking Dead. Seriously, I love The Walking Dead. And I was like, okay, you're hired. You're in. And she brought notes. She brought, like, a stack of notes. We covered, like, a tenth of what she wanted to talk about. She was amazing.
Yeah,
and then so was CM Punk. CM Punk was great, too.
Yeah, I didn't know too much about him from the WWE, but both of those guys are obviously hardcore fans, and that's what's awesome is it's just a bunch of fans just sitting around speculating on what we've just seen and what's likely to happen next. It was a great episode setting up a great, what I guess will be the final episode for some time next week, right, Chris?
Yes.
Hold on, please.
Spoiler alert.
Okay,
oh,
go
yeah,
ahead.
Good. Oh, good, you've got the robot.
Spoiler alert.
Perfect.
Spoiler alert.
Mid-season finale. Next week is the mid-season finale, and the show will take a break for the holidays and then be back early next year. I don't know. I mean,
they say that early next year, and sometimes that means March, April, and that's not early next year.
I don't think it's that late.
Okay, good.
But the return date is above my pay grade, so I don't know.
Well, listen, we're only going to have time to hit a couple of the plot points. It was a great episode of The Walking Dead last night. Let me start with this. For everybody who was trying to see the good in the governor, everybody who was trying to think, man, he's a tough guy in a tough position, just trying to make everybody happy. Last night, and I think you said this on your show, Chris, we just found out that he's just a pervy dick, right?
He is a giant piece of crap. Yeah, I mean, you know this if you read the comic books, but if you didn't, you know, like, they've really portrayed the governor on the television show as like, oh, you know, he's just a guy and he's trying to make his way and do whatever he can to protect the people. And then last night, like, all bets are off. You're like, oh, okay, yo, no, he is evil incarnate.
I love that kind of a bad guy, though, the bad guy that just smiles through stuff and doesn't seem to be bothered by anything. He's just really having a great time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that just adds another level of evil to him.
Well, yeah, and besides that, when you think about this town of Woodbury, which is about 75 people, like, most of them are just regular civilians. You know, they have maybe, like, four or five brute soldiery types. But the rest are just people, and you really just get this sense, like, they don't really care. They don't want to know. They just know that they're safe in this environment. That's all they care about. And then this guy, meanwhile, is just running mad with power.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited.
Did you think that was, I'm not excusing the governor's behavior at all, but did you think that was a legitimate interrogation technique to try to get information from a prisoner, what he did to Maggie?
No, it was so awful. And I thought that was going to go in so much of a worse direction. And I was actually, as I was watching the show, I'm like, please don't do that.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't want to be mad at the show.
Right.
And then, you know, ultimately it didn't happen, but it still, I think what the governor did to her was almost worse than what Merle did to Glenn.
Let's speak about Glenn for a minute. Mr. Walking, dead bait or walking bait or whatever his nickname was.
That was like a Bond film with the chair. I mean, come on.
he's a badass.
Glenn has become Glenn was a nerd, and then the zombie apocalypse has turned him into like a badass.
Yeah.
So,
I think one of your guests last night on The Talking Dead, this is the voice of our friend Chris Hardwick here on K-Rock, talking about The Walking Dead and Talking Dead on AMC. Lots of spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
But I think your guest said anyone who survives the zombie apocalypse has some inner strength. But Glenn is surprising all of us who thought we knew him with how strong he is. I mean, he's, you know, Rick has been losing his mind a little bit. I almost think Glenn may be the strongest guy they've got at the prison right now.
He could be, or Daryl, you know, like, or Carl, actually, too, I think has really stepped up. But, you know, what I think is interesting about The Walking Dead is that it's such an experiment of, like, nature versus nurture. And Kirkman puts these people into the worst possible situations to kind of reveal what their true character is and how their alignment changes and what they become. And so the evolution of where they all started has been really interesting the last few seasons.
But how long until empty pant leg Herschel dies? I mean, he's talk about survival of the fittest. Talk about the survival of the fittest. That guy's got to go, right?
Well, he's not. Listen, if they do potato sack races at the prison, he's not going to do that. but other than that, I think as long, you know, I think he'll be okay for a while. I mean, besides Herschel, there's a newborn baby, which Carol was so, like, you could just see the mother lust in her eyes. Like, I get to hold another one. Like, it was such a perfect moment that she was there and the baby was there. She's really going to take care of that kid.
Yeah.
All right. Let me ask you two more things real quick, Chris, because I know we don't have very much time. Why was Michonne, and again, spoiler alert from last night's Walking Dead, why was Michonne so willing to become part of the group in the prison when she fought so hard about being part of the group in Woodbury?
My guess is that because she and Andrea spent so much time together that she actually knows who they are.
Nope, not like that. Not that kind of time together, Kevin.
How do you know what they did?
Not that kind of time.
How do you know?
Go ahead. So you think she already knows that they're good guys then, so her guard is down a little bit?
Well, I don't think that it's down. I just think she's super calculated, and I also think that everything she does, you know, Yvette on the show last night said she's sort of like a Terminator. Like, she assesses everything, and she hangs back until she can kind of figure out what's going on.
Right.
And I think that's what's happened here, despite the fact that Rick grabbed her bullet wound. But
that was a mistake. He almost died that very second.
I thought that was a mistake. But I think she also she's super, super, super instinct-based survivor as well. So she knew right away the governor was bad news. So I think even if she didn't know the survivors, who they were, she would have a sense that they were not, you know, out to do evil things.
Right.
So I think she's just super smart.
All right. Last question for you, Chris, and you're awesome to squeeze us in. We know how busy you are.
Of
and
course.
this is really gonna be the centerpiece of next week's episode when the two camps collide. What happens when Merle and Glenn, who clearly miss each other, love each other, have that familiar brotherly relationship?
Merle and Daryl.
Sorry. What happens when they finally get together and they're on opposite sides of the fight? It's like the Civil War. I'm the South, you're the North. Where does the allegiance go?
Kevin.
No, that's not where it goes. No.
I'm just guessing. Aren't we all just guessing?
What happens with them?
What happens? Well, first of all, I think, and again, I don't know. I haven't seen ahead. But I think what could happen is there's an instant moment of,
oh, my God, you're my brother. You're still alive. Wait a minute. You're a dick. And then I think or I kind of feel like, see, I keep thinking Merle is going to turn against the governor because the governor keeps kind of taunting him with, like,
yeah,
oh, you're not going to find your brother. Give it up. And Merle always kind of looks at him sideways. So
right.
I think if anything, I think Daryl is the stronger character. I mean, when you think about it, Merle, totally subservient to the governor. Daryl's become his own person. He's become right. a member of the group. They've both evolved in completely separate directions and become, you know, completely different people. So I think in the end, if they have to try to kill each other, they will.
So yeah. At the end of the episode, of course, they're getting ready to storm the compound. That's where it starts next week. That should be fascinating to watch that.
Oh, it's so, and then this episode last night, there were so many moments where you're like, oh, they're going to meet. Oh, they just knew that she knows Andrea.
Right.
And then can we just have a moment of silence for Boxcar Willie?
Well, it was, yeah, exactly right. It was another great episode, the AMC. It's just amazing what they're doing over there in Walking Dead. It just gets better every single season. Sunday nights, of course, and then Chris's show, The Talking Dead. You should be following all that our friend Chris Hardwick does at Nerdist.com. Follow him on Twitter, @Nerdist. Chris, have a great week. We'll do this one more time next Monday.
Yeah, Kirkman's on next week with Damon Lindelof on Talking Dead.
Oh, wow.
So, we'll have plenty to talk about.
Fantastic. Thank you, man. We'll talk to you next week. Bye. Really, just only the outline. That's all I'm ever going to need of that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 26 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Andrew Siciliano, the greatest man in television, ladies and gentlemen, for the DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays, NFL Total Access during the week on the NFL Network. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how are you?
So good to hear your voice.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I'm winding down a little bit. This is my first day back since the surgery, and I am very tired, but I'm trying to hang in there. I'm trying to make it to the finish line here today.
Ask him about his testicles.
I'm not going to ask him about his testicles. I actually don't want to know about
him. Ask him about his testicles.
I have no desire to hear
his answer. Making the right decision.
How are your testicles, Bean?
You don't want to hear about it.
How big are they?
So much we need to talk about, Andrew.
Three times his regular size? Four times?
As we always talk about, the greatest reality show in television. Let's start with let's go back to Thanksgiving and talk about the Jets. Look, there are worse football teams in the NFL this year, but there are none that are as embarrassing as the Jets. Why is everything going wrong for this franchise?
Well, nobody lost a kidney, I guess, that day, right?
We're not sure yet.
Why? I thought they should have played Yakety Sax like Benny Hill music during the whole thing. They gave up three touchdowns in 52 seconds.
Okay, and let me stop you right there. This is the Patriots New Jersey game, New York Jets.
Yes.
Is that a record? Three touchdowns in less than a minute?
That's a great question. I don't know if it is or not. I don't know if anyone looked it up because I don't think anyone cared at that point. They were just too busy laughing. Okay. And then the shot of Rex Ryan, their formerly portly coach, he's surgically removed some of that weight.
Right.
And the look, and if you could read lips, he was, you know, that's bleeping unbelievable immediately
it
thereafter
was.
On the sideline.
It was unbelievable.
And then, I mean, look, that was one of those moments where the non-football fans in the room, because it's Thanksgiving, so you got a lot of those, start laughing hysterically.
Right.
I was with my family. My mother kept saying, rewind it, rewind it, rewind it. I want to watch it again. I mean, it made YouTube in 10 seconds.
Describe the play you're talking about.
Well, I mean, there were three. So there was a long touchdown, Tom Brady to Shane Vereen down the sideline, and no one's anywhere near him. Boom, that's one. Then Mark Sanchez, USC's Mark Sanchez.
This was the best thing I've ever seen.
So he turns the wrong way after taking the snap, and he's going to hand it to the running back. So when you turn the wrong way coming away from center and the running back's going the other way, you're screwed. It's called a busted play.
Right.
He's got nowhere to go. He can't hand it to the running back who's already gone by him. So he's got to just turn around, and you run, and you try to get as far as you can, and you put your head down, and you just take the loss. Well, so he starts to run, and he runs into the large derriere of his offensive lineman, Brandon Moore. And it,
he ran into his ass so hard.
So hard.
Knocked him off his feet.
And the ball comes out, and it goes the other way for a touchdown. But imagine. Okay,
it was the human centipede.
Imagine.
That's what happened to that.
There's a tractor trailer in front of you, okay? And you run full steam ahead into the side of the tractor trailer. Your upper body smashes into the side of the tractor trailer.
Sticks
but your legs would keep going hypothetically underneath the truck.
Right.
That's
right.
What it looked like, except the tractor trailer was this guy's butt.
Oh, and it's so not embarrassing enough that he ran into his own player's butt.
But his legs kept going. And the ball came out and it went the other way.
He fumbled and they scored.
The Patriots score. So then the Patriots kick off to the Jets. Jets guy runs it back, gets about 15 yards, gets popped. Ball comes straight out into the air, hits the New England player, Julian Edelman, in stride, basically,
yep.
And he runs it in for a touchdown.
It was the strangest 52 seconds of football I've ever seen in my life.
It was the Harlem Globetrotters and the Washington Generals.
It was, except you couldn't actually script it.
No, because you would go, no one would believe this.
If you tried to shoot it, you couldn't get the ball to bounce that way three times in 52 seconds.
Right.
That's what they had. And then, afterwards, there's the whole Rex Ryan thing. Well, the whole Tim Tebow thing, rather. So Tim Tebow dressed. He was in uniform. And if you're in uniform, you're allegedly able to play.
Right.
If you're not in uniform, don't dress. Go get another quarterback ready in case someone gets injured.
Right.
So the fans are chanting for Tebow. I have nothing else.
Only a few of them.
How bad can it get at this point?
Right,
they're down huge at halftime.
Put you in at this point.
35 to 3 at halftime?
Something like that. So Rex comes out afterwards, the coach, and says, well, Tim had broken ribs. He couldn't play. So why is he in uniform?
Yeah, he
could have played if we really had to play him. Well, then why is he in uniform?
Yeah,
why is the emergency backup, in case of injury, also injured?
How long till he gets traded?
Tim Tebow?
They're clearly not going to use him.
He's there for the rest of the year. It serves no good to get rid of him now.
Not going to use him, and that's taking up a spot.
No, but it all depends on who's coaching next year, who's the GM next year, if Mark Sanchez is there next year.
The starting quarterback ran into his offensive player's ass.
The butt can cause a fumble.
Yes.
I mean, that is official.
If you're going to ever turn to Tebow, it's right then.
Sanchez is owed $8 million next year, roughly.
Oh.
Roughly.
Hey, let's put a P.S. on the Jets before we take a break and come back with Andrew Siciliano and talk some more. Tell me about Fireman Ed, because is it bad when you lose your most high-profile fan in a Jets outfit?
Yeah, he's giving it up. So Fireman Ed is the guy you've always seen, if you watch Jets games over the years, in the front row, a bald guy. He's a real fireman, well-respected member of the community, and he wears a fireman hat and a big Jets jersey, and he does the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets cheer for his whole section, and he's kind of a cult figure in New York.
Right.
He left at halftime. I guess he's only ever done that once. And then he shut down his Twitter account. I don't know how many people follow him. I guess he's kind of a big deal in the tri-state area. He then writes a column in a city paper last night in New York saying, I'm done. I'm out. I'm out of the contest.
You talking about out of life?
Not out of life.
Okay, I didn't know how far this went.
He's not jumping off the fucking ladder.
Okay.
But he's resigning. He's still going to go to games, I guess, but no longer as Fireman Ed because he can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
Not only does he not want to represent himself that way, but evidently some of the fans take it out on him. So when the team's doing poorly, they're Jets fans, for Pete's sake.
That's his fault.
They take it out on him.
Well, and he also has been wearing a Sanchez jersey this season, which has really upset a lot of people in his section who want to see Tebow go in, right?
That's that doesn't
this is help. Like this is like when Clipper Daryl got sad and stopped going to Clipper games.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, I love Clipper Daryl, but when he did the whole march downtown when LeBron should come sign with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Daryl, I love you, but all you're trying to do is get on television.
Yeah.
Because LeBron, back then, before the Chris Paul trade, before anybody else came, you could not have opened up vaults in Dubai and paid LeBron enough to come to the Clippers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you just try to get on TV. Stop making a
but poor Fireman Ed, he's just trying to support his Jets. That's
not
all
anymore.
Just J-E-T-S. That's all he wants, right?
We need to take a break. Andrew Siciliano was here talking NFL. We will be right back on the World Famous Care.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
It smells like butt hair.
K-Rock.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:38.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano in studio with us from the NFL Network. What's happening on Total Access this afternoon at 4, if you know, Andrew?
Oh, that would be a big pregame show before the big Michael Vick-less Eagles-Panthers game.
But you're going to have time to review that Mark Sanchez play many, many times.
You know, we actually did Friday. We actually
did
Friday. And I believe we will probably find time to do it again. Or the Colts cheerleaders. There's a touching story that shaved their heads yesterday. How about that?
Did you see that? I didn't see
that.
No.
All right. So
three of them, right?
Right. No, yeah, a couple of them, two or three, whatever it was. Either way, it's regardless. I mean, it's amazing regardless. So Chuck Pagano, the coach who's battling leukemia, he obviously lost his hair in chemo, and the team has shaved their heads as well.
Right.
And a couple of the cheerleaders in this big Chuck Strong effort to raise money for leukemia research, they shave their heads
wow.
on the sideline during the game, including the former Miss Indiana.
On the sideline?
I support the players and other coaches doing that. Leave the hot chicks be. Let them continue to be hot chicks with hair.
Well, I think it was their decision. I don't think
it was their decision. It was not like a hazing ritual. And it's not like, let's haze them on the sideline and have everyone watch. It wasn't that. They did it willingly.
I'm just saying. All right, let's talk about how crazy it is that Chargers game yesterday. So the Ravens are at 4th and 29, down by 3 with a minute and a half left, and end up winning the game. What happened?
Ladies and gentlemen, Norvell Turner happened, and whether or not it's his fault, it isn't. It's got to get blamed on him.
Right.
Listen, the Chargers actually played that well for the first 5 seconds of the play.
Okay.
So it's 4th and 29. If the Ravens don't get the 29 yards, then the game's over.
Game's
the Chargers
over.
Take the ball over, they take knee, the game's over.
Right.
Joe Flacco had no one to throw to. The Chargers did their job in that regard.
Okay.
You want to force him to say, I have nowhere to go. I'm just going to dump it off 5 yards. Because there's no way after you dump it off 5 yards that the guy's going to run another 25.
Yeah, right, maybe he'll get 10 if he's lucky.
If he's lucky.
You can get him
if he's
down.
Really lucky, yeah.
Ray Rice went another 25. It was the longest fourth down conversion in a game in 11 years.
It was unbelievable.
Wow.
11 years. And then from that point, they won the game in overtime. And it's another, listen, it's Charger fans I feel for, because it's like that primetime drama where you know how it's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
Or you know that it's going to end with the bad guy getting caught.
Right.
Right. And you just don't know how they're going to find a way to put him behind bars by the end of the hour.
Right.
You know that at one point during the season, the Chargers will self-destruct and it'll go badly. You just don't know what new and creative way the writers will come up with that week or that year. And this time it was a 4th and 29.
And that is it. Like, that's not even a real thing.
It's not even a real thing.
And that's the beautiful thing about your job, and that's why you're the coolest man on television, is because when you're sitting there doing the DirecTV Red Zone, you have no idea how that's going to go, and you just take it in stride, man. It seems like nothing shocks you on that show. You're so even-keeled on that program, no matter how outrageous the thing is.
I tweeted Ray Rice in 10 exclamation points. That one that one got me. But you look, we were happy yesterday to help as well, because that game was blacked out here.
Right.
And so by flipping back and forth on the Red Zone channel and showing those big plays, then the Charger fans in the audience, maybe they didn't want to see it, I don't know. But we're able to help them out.
You had the line of the day on Twitter when one of the most unexpected things I've ever seen in a football game happened. It unfortunately happened during my Seattle Seahawks game as they lost to the Miami Dolphins. You remember what happened yesterday that we've never seen in a game before?
The sprinklers
came up in the middle of the game.
Where was
the game played?
It was in Miami.
In Miami.
Right. Do they need to water the grass?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not.
So it was in Miami, and during the second quarter, the sprinklers went off. Not like one in the end zone. I mean, middle of the field Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, like Rich Eisen pointed out on Twitter as well. It was a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial, and they had to stop the game for a couple of minutes, go to commercial. And they said afterwards that, the sprinklers were still on the Saturday settings. Okay. That's a great answer. Yeah, I guess they water it on Saturday, so somebody forgot to switch.
Can you imagine? Wouldn't you like to just be that guy? Because you know that feeling of, oops.
Yeah.
That's me.
I need a new job. It's like the Southwest commercial.
And you pointed out, for all of his acclaim that Coach Pete Carroll has had with the Seahawks, he is terrible on the road.
And, you know, a lot of people pointed out to me as well that, and maybe under Mike Holmgren it was a lot better, but that traditionally the Seahawks have had trouble. And a lot of it has to do with geography, and a lot of it has to do with how great their fans are at home.
Right.
You know, they're undefeated at home, and they're 1-5 on the road.
That's crazy.
The trip yesterday was the longest road trip domestically in the NFL.
Right. Yeah, it's the longest road trip possible.
But
right.
So what? All teams do that, and they don't have that bad of a record.
Sure, but it doesn't explain why they go to San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis, those places, and lose as well.
Hmm.
Or anywhere for that matter. They're not that good on the road. I mean, they could have, would have, should have won the game yesterday. They didn't. The sprinklers got in the way, clearly.
Yeah, well.
Clearly.
Look, sometimes the grass needs to be watered. What are you going to do?
Obviously.
All right, obviously. Let's do one more real quick because they're your beloved Cleveland Browns.
How about that?
Did you predict they would beat the Steelers?
I did, but not on the record. I told my dad that, but I don't know if it was just an effort to prop him up.
Yeah,
on
I told
morning.
My dad that,
that
too.
That might have been that. Listen, look, no team had turned the ball over eight times in a decade. The Steelers turned it over eight times, including on the final, like, wacky, you know, Stanford band thing, tried to do 15 laterals. They turned it over there. Charlie, look, I think what comes away from that is that Ben Roethlisberger, the Steelers quarterback, who they're now 0-2 without him with this latest injury, their two backups have been 32-year-old Byron Leftwich and now 38-year-old Charlie Batch. Charlie
wow.
Batch is the oldest non-kicker in the NFL, and you can blame the wind if you want. It looked like it yesterday. He could not deliver the football. It died. And they
you don't see
it.
A lot of 38-year-olds at the quarterback position.
No,
look,
you don't.
If you can still throw.
Yeah.
Kurt Warner can still throw.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to go in there. He doesn't want to go in there and play anymore, but
right.
He can still throw. Warren Moon is 50 years old. All right? Warren Moon can still throw.
Right.
Better than Charlie Batch. I will bet every dollar in my pocket right now that Warren Moon can throw the football better than Charlie Batch. And that's not a rip of Charlie Batch. It's just it didn't go
yeah,
well.
I got you.
Right, exactly.
So they're in trouble. And Ben claims he's going to try to play this week, even though his injury, he had a fracture in the first rib. And I'm not a doctor at all. But instead of going out, it was going in. And it's the kind of thing where if that gets jostled, and it's his right side. So try throwing a football
throwing arm.
Put your hand on top of your ribs there and feel how that moves.
Right.
If that goes in, it hits his aorta and he bleeds out. No joke.
So he could die.
He could die.
All right.
But he claims he's going to play against the Ravens.
We've had Andrew on for years now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Until this moment, I did not know that he was not a doctor. Did you?
That was
shocking.
You're not a doctor?
I'm not.
DirecTV Red Zone channel on Sundays, NFL Total Access. Hey, that means today at 4 o'clock on the NFL Network, and you should follow Andrew. He's very funny on Twitter, at Andrew Siciliano. Great to see you, man. Thanks so much for coming.
Hey, it's good to have you back.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Loveline lover boy Mike Catherwood, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, swollen genitals Bean Baxter.
For those that didn't hear, Bean, you want to recap?
This is Bean speaking from the Kevin and Bean Show, back at work for the first time since donating a kidney on November the 13th. I am back. One of the side effects that I was not expecting as a result of my abdominal surgery was incredibly swollen genitals. I guess all sorts of liquid gets moved around in your body when they do that kind of surgery, and then it's got to end up someplace, and that's where mine ended up. And it's insane.
I just want everybody to understand.
I saw the incredibly swollen genitals last night at the Troub. Very good.
They go just by ISG nowadays. They're like JCPenney. They want to get rid of their old name.
Right.
I want everyone to know that I was recently, this entire weekend, I was in Seattle, where Bean lives, and we weren't, unfortunately, able to get together, but Bean really wanted us to hang out desperately. Not because he wanted to share great conversation, not because I haven't had a chance to see his home, because he was so desperate to show me his incredibly swollen balls and chest.
But Mike, who better to show it to than somebody like you who appreciates medical oddities? You are the freak show guy. You're the first guy who wants to see that photo that's going around on the internet that makes everybody else's stomach
turn.
That's
true.
Right?
Not only do I appreciate medical oddities, I love penis.
Yeah, that's true too.
So
I really look. Here's the thing. I know I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this, but I know how entertaining it would be for everybody else to see what's going on with me right
send
now.
Send it over.
Just from a freak show standpoint. But I don't trust anybody enough to send it in an email.
Send
so I
the
thought,
photo.
If I show it to Mike, he's somebody who can then explain to everybody, no, Bean wasn't lying. It was really effed up.
I just imagine him looking I just imagine the whole area is like a grape, like an eggplant right now.
Purple.
Huge. Oh, God.
Kind of like,
he says it's tied in a knot. I don't know how that happened.
It is. It's like a balloon animal penis, Michael. Is what it is. So.
You can trust me.
So jealous.
You can trust me. Send it to me.
Send her the photo.
Me of all the people in the world.
You'll send it to everybody. Look, it'll end up on the internet.
Lisa,
I don't
would never.
Want that.
I will show them on my phone, and
no,
then
won't.
I will delete it.
Lisa,
I swear to
Lisa
God.
Lisa would never, ever willingly do that to you, Bean. But I do feel like she has such a small grasp of how to work technology that accidentally someone would get a hold of it.
Do you have snapshots, Bean? Do you have that app, Snapshots?
I don't. Do I need that?
You should get it, yeah, and then it disappears.
Oh.
See, that's what I was thinking. If there's some sort of way, because there are programs where you can send an email and it vanishes and it can't be screen capped or anything like that. It's like that? It's one of those?
Yep.
Oh, I may need to look into that. Just do like
Brett Favre or something and don't take your face with it and then deny.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So, in other words, send it out to everyone and say, here's my junk, and then deny it.
But when it does leak.
When it's online, you go, that's not mine.
Is it leaking too?
Lisa, on fire. That wasn't bad at all. All right, so I'm here to do the Showbiz Beat. Big story. After having a child, after having her spawn, according to Star Magazine, Snooki of the Jersey Shore, she's back in business. That body's looking like it always did before, baby, which means disgusting and overweight
yeah.
and repulsive and repugnant. On a related story, I brought this up last time I was here doing the Showbiz Beat. Let us all just stop what you're doing. I don't care if you're driving an automobile.
You want him to just stop?
Just stop. No, just take your hands off the wheel. Even if you're in traffic, I don't care. Let's all just put our hands together for a moment.
Who?
Megan Fox had a baby right about the same time as Snooki and Fat Jessica Simpson, who looks like she can pull a couple of Clydesdale wagons. Megan Fox might be thinner and hotter than she was before. And this is what all women should aspire to be. And we should use her as a glittering example of what it's like to have a child.
Certainly possible. It's just a lack of willpower.
Right.
Thank for you. Every Thanks, other Lisa. Woman on
Thank
earth.
You, Lisa. Lisa's right. It had nothing to do with a genetic gift.
No.
Right. Megan Fox is not naturally thin or beautiful.
Beautiful.
No.
That's all just hard work.
Okay. It is. For one thing, look, the lion's share of it is genetic. Gift.
Megan Fox has trouble keeping weight on.
That being said, we've all read the quotes from Jessica Simpson where she's like, I just didn't know I couldn't eat macaroni and cheese all day. It's like, shut up!
Well, she's dumb.
Yeah.
And I feel like, look, granted, the human body, the female body goes through tremendous changes after they have a baby. During the time of having a baby, I understand that you gain weight, you gotta feed your child through your bosom. That being said, I do think a lot of women use it as a cover fire to then become gluttonous.
Well, I imagine it's women who had trouble before they got pregnant controlling their weight.
Yeah, probably.
Kesha sucks in every way possible. Not only it's hackneyed to go on a rant about how her music sucks, but she is that person now who is just so desperate to be like the wild child artist. She was spotted in Australia walking around town just hanging out in a lion mask.
That's
wow.
Wacky.
You're silly. You want to talk about real crazy people? Lindsay Lohan, Charlie Sheen together
as a couple?
No.
Oh.
But bad. Looks like Charlie has been acting as her kind of safeguard for her financial problems. It's the truth. TMZ reports it that while they were filming Scary Movie 5 last September, Lindsay had insinuated that she was having some tax problems to Charlie. So Lindsay's business manager, a couple days later, gets a check for $100,000.
Dude.
That's insane.
From Charlie?
Yeah. Those are two people.
Does it come with a contract? Or?
I don't know.
It should, yeah. Because you know,
something?
You know he's used to paying for women, and you know he expects a return.
He just thinks she's going
to
be a goddess. One of his new goddesses that shows up at the compound.
Yeah.
Just showers her and blow.
Boom.
That's another guy, by the way. Crazy, but I don't think desperate to get the attention for being crazy. I just think, like, legit.
Yeah.
Like,
legit.
Kesha should take some Charlie Sheen lessons. My brother-in-law runs a drug and bomb detection service.
Right.
You know, he has canines that come in, and he used to do the studios where they filmed Two and a Half Men. And he said that Charlie Sheen, albeit crazy as the day is long, would always like bring like lots of pizza for the service people at the around the studios. He's very giving. Chuck Zito, his personal security, always talks about how Charlie would like give people watches for no reason. He's like a watered down Elvis that he just like constantly like handing out gifts and stuff. Very giving guy. Adam Levine. We should, as all women should look up to Megan Fox for looking hot and just like being committed to looking hot. We should all, regardless of what you think of Maroon 5's music, we should all bow down to the altar of Adam Levine.
He does seem to be playing above his pay grade.
Adam Levine, a great man, because he was unceremoniously and surprisingly dumped by Anna Vialasyanya. Let's call her Anne the Communist. Anne the Communist was a runway model and is impossibly hot. So what does he do to take care of that? He finds new Namibian model, Bahati Prinsloo.
All right. Oh, Bahati Prinsloo's the best.
Bahati Prinsloo.
I made that for Thanksgiving.
They've been cruising around town in his vintage Aston Martin.
Mm.
Again.
Very nice.
All you car guys out there know there's nothing that gigantic Hollywood D-bags make the mistake of spending lots of money on D-bag cars.
Right.
And I would just like to provide the blanket middle finger. Lisa, do you see what finger I'm putting on?
That would be the middle finger, yes.
The blanket middle finger to all rich, wealthy, powerful guys in Hollywood, because they all do the same thing and buy the new Maserati or the Range Rover or like an M5, like total gigantic D-bag cars. It is the equivalent of the white trash who immediately, as soon as they get some money in their pocket, goes and buys the Corvette.
Sure.
Bald Brad. And I want you to understand that you have money, therefore you have the ability to do good things and have taste. The vintage Aston Martin, once again, trotting around town in the vintage.
How many times are we clapping?
I don't know.
Let's clap. You know what, Lisa May?
What?
Let's clap again for USA.
All right.
Woo!
Yeah, USA.
All right.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
This is a terrible day for celebrity birthdays, except for Tina Turner, legend, 73 years old. Actress Kristen Bauer, she's 46.
Mm-hmm.
Garcelle Bouvier, who's super hot. She's from NYPD Blue and the Jamie Foxx show. I believe she was also Denzel Washington's estranged wife in Flight.
Okay. Gotcha.
Peter Facinelli, Twilight movies. 39 years old, and singer Natasha Bedingfield. She is 31 years old, and that is the showbiz.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. Hey, hit it, Steve. Miss Double December 2013, the pageant in Fullerton this Friday. You can meet the girls. Someone will be crowned Miss Double D. We're getting ready to meet contestant number two.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Boobies.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Nice rack.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my f*** is hard.
Well, the voting is over. The voting is over. Thanks, everybody, for all your votes.
Actually,
we appreciate it.
The voting continues at KROQ.com. The voting continues right now. You can go and see the top 10 finalists. One will be selected Friday to be Miss Double D. We are very excited to welcome our friend Lux back to the studio, ladies and gentlemen. Lux is, please correct me if I'm wrong, Kevin, is the first ever repeat top 10 finalist for Miss Double D.
Yay!
I think so.
Wow.
I think so,
Lux.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you're like Mitt Romney. You don't care how many times you don't get elected president, you're just going to run again.
Sure, why not?
She's nothing like Mitt Romney, if I could just say
so
that.
So how did it go for you last year? Refresh my memory at the pageant of last year. You were one of the top, didn't
She's
you
top
end up
three,
being
I
in the
think.
Top three, right?
Yeah, I was top three. I finished second, and I had a blast regardless because, you know, everybody, all the girls were just so nice, and everyone at KROQ was so nice and took care of us, so when a lot of people were asking me if I was going to come back, it was really a no-brainer. I mean, why not? I had a blast. People want to see me try again. So that's why I'm back. And
I'm so happy
for bringing
to hear
me
that.
Back.
I'm so happy to hear that. We were really happy to see you enter again. And it is neat. It is neat the way the girls kind of support each other, because women have a reputation sometimes of just being cutthroat and catty and everything like that. But I felt like there were people who became friends through the pageant last year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I made a lot of new friends. And
I like to picture
all
of you just having pillow fights.
We were having a lot of fun backstage in the trailer. I mean, 5 a.m., you know, those backstage nerves. So, you know, a couple of us kind of indulged in some of the amenities back there.
Good.
To calm the nerves.
All right. Well, let's meet Lux for folks who haven't yet been to the website to check out her photographs. You are from Moreno Valley.
Yes.
And what are you doing for a living these days, Lux?
Well, I do entertainment full time. So I model, act, and dance. So
nice.
Yeah,
and you've been in music videos and you've done some really good stuff even in the last year, right?
Yes. This year has been amazing. I've been so busy. So, but I mean, I can't complain at all. I'm very grateful. I'm very blessed. I've been able to work with some very, very big artists, and I couldn't ask for more. I get to call this work, so I'm having a blast right now doing it.
Kevin, you want to handle the questionnaire portion of Lux's entry?
Throughout your autobiography, what would the title be? All My Friends Are Porn Stars. Is that some of the work you've gotten this year?
Gosh, well, it's funny because of how I look, you know, I'm very voluptuous. You know, I got the blonde hair. I don't know if it's from coming from California, but a lot of people always ask me on my YouTube videos or on any of my social networks, Instagram, Twitter, if I do porn or if I've ever done porn or can I do porn? And it's funny because actually I find out later that maybe 70% of the girls that I have worked with are actually in the adult film industry. So I just have this joke. It's pointless for me to defend myself against doing anything adult industry. People are going to go about it anyway because all my friends are porn stars.
So you say yes. And they just go, yeah.
You'd be like, yeah, yeah, just Google me.
If you were a porn star, what would your made-up stage name be?
Honeysuckle.
I like it. That's I like that for clever. Many different reasons.
By
like
the way,
that.
She says it much better than the way I would have. If selected as a finalist, you'll be asked to perform a talent show. What's your talent? You put spelling supercalifragilisticexpialidocious in less than 10 seconds.
Can I?
No. And then, well, what was the other one that you put?
Well, my burlesque dance last year was apparently a favorite.
It was a hit.
Oh, okay.
People kind of liked it.
I can say that was a hint.
So I decided to bring it back, and I'm going to be doing it dressed as Jessica Rabbit this year.
Okay.
I have, you know, a whole costume. I don't have the red wig on today because I didn't realize how big my hair was, and I couldn't get it on. But yeah, I was Jessica Rabbit this year for Halloween, and I mean, she's so beautiful and iconic, and I just hope to be as sexy as she was, but, you know, I'll try.
I remember you being a hell of a dancer, too. I mean, I guess that's probably, you probably have training on that because of all the videos and stuff you've done. I mean, that's one of the things you do, right, is dance.
Right, yeah. I've been trained since 7 years old, ballet.
Same here.
And,
same here.
Ballet, jazz, hip-hop.
I dance like I breathe.
I have to ask this question of all the girls this week, the top 10 finalists. What about the girls? What's the history of your girls?
The girls.
Yes, that's Bean's way of asking about your boobs.
The girls.
Yeah.
Well, the girls. The
How
girls are
they?
About a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they're about a year and a half, and I'm very happy.
Hey,
with
Mike.
Them.
Hey, thanks for running into the studio, Mike. Not needed. Thanks.
Hi, Mike.
What were you before the surgery? What are you now?
I was a B before, and now I am a full D.
And how's that been working out for you, Lexi Boo?
Well, I feel a lot better.
Can I
because,
answer that really well?
No, I feel really good because I've always had very big booty, like the hips and stuff. So I always felt kind of off, but after I got them done, I just felt more comfortable and. You know, and
balance
the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yes, it balances me out.
All right, so what are we doing? Are we doing some talent today as well?
We're doing some burlesque dancing. And by the way, we're videotaping this so that we can put it up online with
fantastic.
When people
okay.
vote, they can see it, yeah.
All right, so Lux is going to do a little burlesque dancing,
yes.
which is great for the radio. Just ideal.
Don't and care.
You can see this video later, and if you want to vote for Lux or any of the other girls, you can go to kevinandbean.com. All 10 finalists are up there. And then Friday, of course, please bring a new unwrapped toy. It's the Toys for Tatas. The Marines are going to be there. We're going to be live at the Rock and Roll Slide Bar Kitchen in Fullerton for the live broadcast. Get there early. That one fills up fast.
Lux is having a real problem with these clothes staying on. I don't know what the issue is, but... She seems to be continually fixing
things. They're just straining to get off of her, aren't they? It's crazy.
All right. You ready? We're going to play some music. We have it ready? Here we go.
Sometimes I feel I've got to run away. I've got to get away from the pain you drive in the heart of me. The love we share.
Yeah, this,
shut up!
This needs to be on TV. Saying it's radio, Kevin.
Shut up!
For the folks listening at home, it's just a song.
She's undoing a lot of that clothing, and it's coming off. And I'm not a fan of that, as you know. Last year, I got screamed at because I stopped her before she was finished undressing, so
oh,
I'm not
going
to make that mistake this year.
You can follow Lux on Twitter at LexiBoo, and that's her Instagram as well, and vote for her at krock.com. All right, we'll meet some
Shut
more
up.
Girls tomorrow.
There you go.
Are we done?
We're done now.
We're done now,
yes. Nice
Thank you, Lux. We'll see you Friday. Congratulations and thanks for listening to Tierney O'Brien from Los Angeles. Listen to this. He or she just won tickets in the pit and backstage passes to both nights of the sold-out 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. What's up with that?
Tierney O'Brien?
Yes.
Is that a leprechaun?
I don't know. Giving away tickets all this week, including just after noon, just after 3, and just after 6 tonight. Details at krock.com. That's the voice of our old friend Psycho Mike Catherwood in the studio with us right now. Ooh. And Dave, the King of Mexico, too.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave.
Yeah, what up? Dave is so excited.
Bean, I missed you.
Thank you, Dave. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Dave's got a new Clipper song to premiere for all of us.
I do.
Now, Mike is in here because he's been a longtime Laker fan, as I have, and we've had to suffer through Dave's insanity.
How many years in a row has the King graced us with a Clipper song?
About 5 or 6.
I have them, wow. If you'd like me to recap.
Yes, I always look forward to Dave debuting his new song every year.
All right, this first one was the first one he did, The Clipper Nation's Back.
The Clipper Nation's back, yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act, yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah,
so that.
And you guys always forget the best part, though. Don't eat Jack, got Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah.
And look what happened to him. So, Dave, you made this Clipper song the first year, and then because the Clippers went on and won the NBA title, you said, oh, it worked. I better come back and do it again next year.
Hey, I'm sorry to interrupt, but they didn't even make the playoffs.
But he still made another song the next year?
But they improved, so I made another one.
Called The Clipper Life.
Welcome to The Clipper Life. This ain't the same team, but I hold on to my dream. A championship rings. The Clipper Life. This team is blue collar. Don't make them big dollars. Still make the fans holler. The Clipper Life.
Do they make the fans holler?
They do.
Yeah. Still waiting for that championship?
Still waiting for it.
Still
waiting.
Yeah. Let me point out, I believe it was this season with this song, that every one of Dave's songs not only promote the Clippers, they hate on the Lakers.
Of course.
I do believe that the Lakers did, in fact, go on to win the championship that year.
Yeah. That might have been their last championship, yes.
Yeah. All right, this Clipper's going to be all right.
Yeah. Banner brings the O. Camby brings the D. Can't go wrong with fans like me. That's right. Clipper's going to be all right.
And they were. They were better.
The biggest reason they're going to be all right is because of fans. Like you.
Hey, we stick by them. That's what I was saying. And we did. We all right.
Clipper's going to run this town tonight.
The Clippers will run this town.
C-L-I-P-P-E-R-S. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything.
That's my favorite line. Put your jersey on. Put on anything.
Put on any stitch of clothing.
Actually, that's almost a direct quote from Jay-Z. So,
and then,
suck it, Kevin.
There's speaking of Jay-Z's, there's Clippers in Paris.
Clippers ball so hard, you know where to find me. Make our fans keep trying me. I got the Clipper Nation standing right behind me, so you can't deny me. Ball so hard, I couldn't believe. When the news came down, we got CP3. And just like that, at the drop of a hat, the team turned into Lob City.
So there you go. You got that
song.
I'd buy this album, by the way.
And by the way, just so you know, any Laker fan out there, the first thing that comes out of their words, or out of the mouths, are Clippers. So that's why I'm saying Laker fans keep trying. Listen, anytime there's a Laker, they mention anything, it's always Clippers this, Clippers that. They say, oh, we don't worry about you. We don't worry about your team. That's the first thing that's out of their mouth is Clippers.
I'd like to just suggest.
That's right. We'll stay in your mouth.
I'd just like to suggest that I have no idea what you just said.
I'd like to back Dave up. I truly have no idea what the hell he's talking about.
You're backing me up then.
Yeah.
Let's make it a clean sweep. I speak Dave and I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
What about, remember when Dave was all sad?
No.
Remember when he was bummed?
This is the worst best song ever.
And he gave up.
This wasn't me, by the way.
He gave up on the Clippers.
How do I say goodbye to this season?
Let me know when it's over.
I would like to suggest that you say goodbye to that season like every other season.
I'll say goodbye to that song.
Oh, next year. All right, so we have a new song.
Hey, it's called Improving, man. It happens.
What is it that we need to know about the new song before we play it?
That it's awesome, and it represents the Clippers and how we rose up, and just like the Clipper Nation, I represent the Clippers. I rep LAC. So let's do this. Clippers are gonna show no mercy.
Yo, turn up the bass in my headphones. Lob City, what up? Alright, let's do this. Clipper Nation, represent. Ain't nobody messing with my clips. Clips, 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 clips. Ain't nobody fresher than my mother loving clips. Clips, clips, clips.
clips, clips. As I look around, they be jocking on my clips, 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 clips. And all the Clipper Nation, man, they want that, they want that.
You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. When it comes to my clips, you know I'll always be down. Believe, believe, believe.
Okay. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time. Clippers are so thirsty.
Swag.
They're gonna show no mercy.
Swag.
On the way to the championship for the very first time. Kurt.
Griffin with that dunk, make that rim shake. CP3 crossover, watch them ankles break. Give it to Crawford, watch the shake and bake. Dish it out to Butler, he'll hit that tray. Say yay, say yay, when the clips win every day, yay. Got a great bench that's gonna play, yay. Grant Hill and Bledsoe is all I got to say, yay. People gonna hate, but that will be okay, yay. Clips the best team in LA, yay. That's right, Clipper Nation, 2013. We're gonna do it this year. I know I say it every year, but this is the year. Lakers, you made yourself better, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because we have a tribe called Bench. And that's right, they're gonna kill it. They are killing it. We're killing it. Clipper Nation, rise up. Day the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, I'm out. Oh, yeah.
There it is,
all right. I stay true, man. I spit truth.
Now we debuted,
I spit truth.
We debuted that song on Friday. How'd the Clippers do over the weekend?
We did it on Wednesday, and they lost against Oklahoma City.
And then?
In a tough nail-biter in overtime.
And
they lost in Brooklyn,
then,
which was a tough game
right.
against a tough squad at home.
And then?
And then they blew it in Atlanta. But tonight in New Orleans, since we played it, we're going to get back in the win column.
Who wants to hear him in falsetto again?
Nope.
I do.
No.
I do.
Well, you can hate all you want, but I will not stop. You can hate all you want, but I will not stop. When it comes to my clips, you know I'll always be down.
Come on.
That's right, baby. I'll always be down. Hate all you want. I'll be down. I'm here. I rep.
I have Clippers. To say, that song's awesome.
Like, yeah.
You know. As a Clipper hater, like that song's still awesome, but Omar deserves a Nobel Prize for making that listenable, you know?
Ralph Garman is extending his Thanksgiving holiday. He is staying in Philadelphia for tonight because his Eagles are playing on Monday Night Football. So look for him on the field. He has field passes for the Eagles tonight. So you can look for him. And then he'll be returning in studio with us here on Wednesday. In the meantime, filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour, our old friend from Loveline, Psycho Mike Catherwood. Hey,
all
Mike.
Right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Mike's clapping for himself.
Yeah. Speaking of Philly, Ralph's hometown where he was this entire weekend, Bradley Cooper, great Philadelphia boy.
Mm-hmm.
Proud Philadelphia native.
Right.
He has been dating Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
On again, off again. Yeah. That's the perks of being one of the sexiest men in the world. Am I right, Lisa May?
Yeah, absolutely.
That Bradley Cooper.
He's pretty hot.
He's a looker.
Good deal.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing good things about his new movie, The Silver Surfer Fun Time.
That's it.
Silver Lining Playbook?
Silver Lining Playbook, yes. By the way, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
I saw David King of Mexico in Broken English tweeted about how she might be his new favorite.
Right.
I'm right there with him.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I was watching The Hunger Games wrongly, which was a terrible film.
No, it wasn't.
And I just kept thinking about how I wanted to drown her. You know what I'm saying? Just want to drown that
in
Jennifer Lawrence. No, Kevin, with a different fluid.
I don't understand.
A fluid that is organic.
I understand. I'm just kidding.
I'm saying, if you can imagine a girl being waterboarded.
Right, I got you.
Okay.
Right.
That's what I want to do.
Here's the thing about Jennifer Lawrence is she's obviously very beautiful and a very talented Oscar-nominated actress. But doesn't she just seem like total package material? Like she's smart and she's got a great sense of humor and she's got a great personality and she seems grounded. She just seems like there's nothing wrong with
her.
She
can shoot a bow and arrow.
She can.
You know?
She can gank a guy from about 100 yards with a bow and arrow on the run. No, I agree with you, Bean. She falls under the same category as my favorite Mila Kunis in that she does.
Yep.
She's not just a pretty face. Anyway, Bradley exactly. Cooper was Zoe Saldana, and they're seen trotting around town. He's going in and out of stores, and she chit-chatting with Bradley Cooper's mom.
Oh,
how
really?
Sweet is that? I bet Bradley Cooper's mom saw it.
Right?
She's probably attractive.
I don't know. I mean,
That's my dream threesome right there. Threesome, eh? All right, put it in print.
Okay.
Wait, Bradley Cooper's mom.
And his mom?
And Zoe Saldana.
Oh, I see. No. I thought it was Bradley Cooper was involved.
Dominican Saldana, Bradley Cooper's mom. And you get the upper crust waspy thing.
Uh-huh.
And then the juxtaposition to Zoe.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you on that.
That's right.
Woo!
Couples. Couples in Hollywood are dumb.
Okay.
They can't seem to get it right. Breakups are bad. I know. I hear whatever dating specialist comes through the Loveline studios every
right.
night. And Dr. Drew always tells people when the breakup happens, it's got to be a clean cut. 6 months at least.
Yeah.
Don't make that time. And don't do it. Listen, guys out there, especially you 20-year-old guys, tuck your tampon string back in and stop checking your ex-girlfriend's Facebook page. That is the most bitch-made thing you can do.
It
Thank
is.
You.
Correct.
But Robert Pattinson, Kristen Stewart, this guy, you're Robert Pattinson. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Beautiful man. Well, I really find him very attractive. I hosted the red carpet for the first Breaking Dawn movie. All the cast, these beefcakes come along. They're all morons. None of them have anything to say, and they're all unhappy to be there. Kristen Stewart, the worst of them.
Right.
Could have been more unhappy and have this just puss on her face. Robert Pattinson, a delight to talk to. Approached me.
Really?
Yes. Well, a real delight to be around.
Yeah.
The guy's unbelievably good looking. He's in the biggest movie franchise in the world. This broad cheats on him publicly, embarrasses him, mm-hmm. ridicules him, rejects him, emasculates him. What does he do? He goes around town. He takes the high road. Okay, goes around town promoting this new Breaking Dawn Part 2, and they're holding hands. They've been seen holding hands in New York City last Friday. He should be showing up with a different stripper to every single movie premiere.
We have a pool where we all guessed when they were going to break up after this movie came out, because it's clearly they're together just for the publicity.
Does no one understand publicity? The best publicity ever would be, who's he going to show up with to this red carpet?
I agree.
Different, just like a different whore. Just like the worst of the worst. The dredges of society coming through. Women with exposed C-section scars, missing teeth.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
That would be pretty good.
Courtney Love to one of them. Oh, Courtney Love there. If the red carpet Snooki. Was a Japanese restaurant, Robert Pattinson's ordering the bukkake. Booyaka!
Keith.
Very sad news. Oh, related story. Rihanna. This is what I was talking about. Hollywood couples can't get it.
Yeah.
She's tweeting out pictures of Chris Brown, ultimate bitch made guy, doing like 70s Playgirl poses.
Yeah.
She has a concert in Germany. And by the way, can you imagine how much leather and feces is going on at a German Rihanna concert? She has a concert in Germany. So then I guess they're like after the show, they're hanging out there.
Yes.
Yeah. Doing
they're
German
together.
Stuff.
They're back together.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All kidding aside, far too many times, you know, you see the battered woman in like they almost as much as a guy who's prone to do that, you know, where most normal people wouldn't, the woman who has that happened to them, like, has this weird magnetic force to guys who are going to do it, and they just can't be separated. And it unfortunately happens far too often, and I just have to hear these calls every single night on Loveline. It's terrible.
Yep.
So, all kidding aside, you know, I hope Rihanna is okay and that everything goes well. More sad news for people who like good TV.
What?
After 8 seasons.
What's been canceled?
Dirty Jobs is no more.
Mike Rowe is so awesome.
Mike Rowe is a guy I really look up to. I admire. He is so amazing on camera, and he's done a great job with that for that show. An unbelievable job for 8 seasons. He really brought it to life, because you could have got anybody to go and get, you know, poo-poo and sprayed on them
and then
dig up, you know, animal waste. But he really brought that show to life. And he said on his blog, after 8 seasons of feces, scary animals, and reasons to be happy, we don't smell television. The show had been put on permanent hiatus. It's difficult for me to imagine a future that does not involve exploding toilets, venomous snakes, misadventures in animal husbandry, and feces from every species.
He may find that he likes it a little better.
Yeah. Feces from every species, by the way, Kevin, playing at the Troubadour next
Tuesday.
Is that
right? Oh, I was not aware of that.
Madonna needs to stop.
Everything?
Just in general.
What's she doing?
New York Post, page 6, says the 54-year-old Madonna was seen partying like a rock star.
Okay.
Up at 1:30 a.m. in South Beach, Miami.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
All right. I understand. She's she's a phenomenon. I mean, she's a huge deal. She's Madonna. She's not a regular person. But every one of us knows that D-bag, all of us, boy or a girl, who's like 35, and he's like, I'm the same guy I was when I was 20 years old, man. You know, I haven't changed one bit. I'm ready for it. And it's like, no, that's a bad thing. You're supposed to kind of grow and develop as a human being, and you're supposed to not like the same things. So either one of two things is the case here. Either Madonna's going through a sort of midlife crisis, or she's desperately trying to stay cool with the kids.
Oh, you know that's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's it too, yeah.
Skinny little bitch.
Thank you, Rodney. By the way, Rodney and I have like the GTO club now here at K-Rock.
Is that right?
Yes. Yeah, so we park them next to each other on Sunday nights before Loveline. I come to do commercials and I really like your GTO. I see your radiator. Mine's been having problems. What kind of radiator do you have?
He does not talk cars. No way.
He kind of does.
Nope.
Ooh.
Thanks, Rodney.
All right, let's get to the birthdays, Mike. We got to move out.
All right.
Cat's coming up.
Oh!
We got to move out.
Yeah, no. Please make room for me. I've got to play some brand new Bravery, and I've got the new song from Fun.
All right. Celebrity birthdays. Oh, what's this? Bane, you want to do the celebrity birthdays? Fair enough.
No.
As Bean returns, I know he loves
it. Well, hello. I returned from Gotham City to do the birthdays. Tina Turner's an old bitch. 73. Kristen Bauer. I don't know what she does.
She's a True Blood, Bane.
True Blood. 46 years old. Actress Gucelle Bouffier. She's a French bitch. She's 46. Actor Peter Facinelli. He was in a movie called The Big Kahuna, I believe.
I don't know.
Please.
It's a Nurse Jackie.
Nurse Jackie. Great. 39 years old and singer Natasha Bedingfield. I had a threesome with her once in Gotham City. It's true.
You did?
With the mayor.
Is that right?
Mayor and I. What was the mayor's name in that goddamn movie, The Dark Knight Rises?
It would help if you could remember it.
Mayor McCheese.
Yes.
He and I went to we went to the Four Seasons with Natasha Bedingfield. Uh-huh. I took my mask off and we did the Poontisserie.
Okay.
Where you spin a woman around. You put a rod directly through
it.
You understand? Like a rotisserie.
Yep. We have to go, Bane. Thank you.
Bane specializes in that.
Thank you very much.
I'm the reckoning, and that is the showbiz.
Tomorrow morning at All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have pit tickets and backstage passes for the 23rd annual K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas. We have a couple of more Miss Double Decembers coming into the studio.
Yes, let me just jump in real quick, Kevin, to say the voting is going on right now through kevinandbean.com. Friday is when the new Miss Double D will be crowned. But if you missed either of the interviews this morning, you want to see video from them and some additional off-air content, that's going up at krock.com or kevinandbean.com right now. In fact, Kristen from earlier this morning is already up, including her talent. And Lux is going to be up in just a few minutes. So you should definitely check back throughout the week. As you pick your favorite, you can vote once per day and then join us Friday live for the show in Fullerton.
Comedian Bill Burr will be here tomorrow and Frankie Edgar.
Really?
Yes. Frankie Edgar talking about UFC 156 where he's fighting Jose Aldo.
Make him fight Beer Mug.
No! Okay.
Beer Mug outweighs him by like 60 pounds. Make him do it.
Done.